contract.
We're talking court order.
Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. Adequate notice of this meeting is required by Chapter 231, PL 1975, has been provided by a public notice on January 3, 2017, which was posted on the former bulletin board at the Roosevelt Post Office, on the bulletin board in the Roosevelt Post Office, and in the Borough Hall. The notice was published in the Times and the Asbury Park Press. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Here.
Mr. Hamilton?
Here.
Ms. Lapode?
Here.
Ms. Malkin?
Here.
Mr. Ticton?
Here.
Mr. Trammell?
Here.
Mayor Ellenta?
Here. I'm going to start out by saying I wasn't quite sure whether I should start with a line from a Prairie Home Companion about our little town or about the 10 plagues of Israel. But as you may know, we were closed June 26th to the 30th. To try to get some of our records in order. Those records date back to 1937. They were in our attic. They were in the trailer. They were in the garage. They were everywhere. We seem to have made a pretty good dent during that period with respect to all of the records that were up in the attic. For a little fun, perhaps some of you should come down and read some of the old correspondence from 1937. The amazing thing is that it sounds exactly like the correspondence today. It just sort of keeps going in rotation. On June 27th, we got a report of brown and later slimy water at around 12:30 in the afternoon. We discovered it was the result of a malfunctioning pump that feeds sodium hydroxide into the system, which raised the pH level substantially. I'm sure Dr. Lapode will report on that matter in full. But I wanted to thank a few people. I wanted to thank Toby Moore, who stayed until 11 o'clock and returned very early the next morning. Debbie Thomas, who stayed on and off until about 11 to make sure things were covered. Kelly Tires, who spent until 5:30 a.m. flushing hydrants, checking pH levels, monitoring the tower capacity, and issuing reverse 911s. And then went back to a full-day work shift dealing with the record. And I want to point out that we know that it's annoying if you receive a reverse 911 in the middle of the night. The problem is that we have neighbors who wake up at 5 to go to work. If there's a problem with the water or some other problem, we need to do it. And we apologize for waking up those of you who are quite normally asleep. Last week, we had a flea infestation in the Borough Hall. We had to close it down. I wanted to thank Councilpersons Lapode and Bona, who came in on Sunday to help Kelly wipe down the floors, the counters, et cetera, with the rest of the staff. Once they spray that building, everything has to be wiped down again. One, because you want to get rid of the fleas, and two, because you want to get rid of all those chemicals. They're doing it again today, but we should be able to start cleaning the building out again tomorrow morning, and we should be open for business hopefully as usual at 8:30, if not a little bit after. Last night, we're getting there, at about 9:45, we got a call from a resident that there was brown water. Kelly took off to empty the hydrants. I suggested she check the pH first at the plant. It was high, it was 11.4. The normal range is, the acceptable range, is below 8.5. That creates a health hazard. It's not necessarily a deadly hazard, but it can make you ill, especially young children, older people. So we issued a reverse 911. Both Toby and George worked on it quite late. Kelly was there, I think, till about 1:30 or so. I also want to thank the July 4th volunteers. I was not here. I was in New York and Philly, but I'm sure either Mike or Peggy can name them individually. We appreciate your efforts. And lastly, on a sad note, there was a funeral today for Ed Gertzman. Ed has been here for decades. He came in. He served as a principal of this very school years ago. He was on the school board for many years. And likewise, he was on the planning board for many years and was up until the time of his death. So we'd like to extend our condolences to Judy and the remainder of the Gutsman family. And we will now move on, if we can, to approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the May 8, 2017 regular minutes?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Questions or comments at the table?
I had a few corrections, which I sent, but of course nobody was at Borough Hall because it was being fumigated, so they are minor in nature, but they are grammatical, so I would just ask that we be able to incorporate those.
And if I might, I haven't had enough time to read the minutes myself. It's been a very busy day, so I'll have to abstain from voting on that.
Yeah, I have a couple things. These are the May 8th?
May 8th, yes.
Okay. So on page 6 of 11, under the paragraph that begins, Mayor Ellentuck asked about the bulletin board. There's a statement that says homeowners' insurance rates are going to go up as the fire company is no longer in existence. I'm not sure that's a fact yet or that's all across the board. I think as homeowners begin to...
It is, but it is what I stated. It's just a record of what I stated.
Okay, it's just your opinion. Okay, and then there was...
But I would, in the first line of that paragraph, I just noticed, asked about the bulletin board as the fund for Roosevelt. Sure, sorry.
Sure. Okay, that's all I have for May.
Yeah, Peggy might want to swing the microphone to you. They can't hear you.
Okay.
I think also I'd be clear that the fund offered to pay for the work to be done. I don't think the fund was offering a specific
yes.
person in the fund to do it.
Offered to pay for installation of
right.
the bulletin board. Yeah, that thought did flash to my mind. Thank you, Mike. Mike? Mr. Hamlin? I was just asking if you had any comments.
Oh.
Okay. Then let's get a roll call.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Abstain.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye. I just one thing I noticed that says Karen Ireland. The name is Perrin Ireland.
That's one of the ones I corrected.
That was one of your characters.
What is it again? Wait, Karen?
Perrin is her name.
Oh, right here. Erin, E-R-I-N.
Perrin.
P-E-R-R-I-N.
Yes, it's a family name.
No E on the end?
No.
Not Perrin.
Just asking.
Okay. Mr. Trammell?
Abstain.
Okay. So it's adopted. Do I have a motion on the May 17, 2017 special special meeting minutes?
Move the minutes of May 17, 2017.
Okay, second.
Any discussion, questions, or comments at the table? Any questions, discussion, or comments at the table?
I have something on page 6.
I'm sorry.
On page 4 of 5, it's just grammatical, it's not, but it has Council Member Malkin stated that should be are some crucial issues not brought up instead of borough up.
Oh, okay. Not brought up. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other comments, questions? Could we call the roll on this, please?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Abstain.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Abstain.
4-0-2.
And may I have a motion on the May 22nd, 2017 regular meeting minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. Questions, comments, or corrections at the table? There being none, can we please call the roll?
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Abstain.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Ticton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Abstain.
Okay, 4-0-2.
We now move to public comment on the consent agenda. The consent agenda currently includes 7 matters. I'm sorry, 6 matters. First being authorizing the filing of a recycling tonnage grant. The second being authorizing Monmouth County Shared Services for street sweeping. The third, registering our opposition to H.R. 38 and S-446, the Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act of 2017 and the Constitutional Concealed Carry Reciprocity Act of 2017. Next is the self-examination of the 2017 budget, followed by read budget by title only, and then payment of bills for July 10, 2017. Is there anybody in the public who has any questions, comments, concerns about the matters in the consent agenda? There being none, let's have a call on the consent agenda.
Okay.
One point, the title of 1789, I believe the word application should be the end. We don't file the grant, we file the grant application.
Thank you.
Motion.
No, we had a motion and a...
No.
Oh, we didn't, I'm sorry. Motion on the consent agenda, please.
Okay, move the consent agenda.
Second.
And if you could please call the roll.
Ms. Bona?
Aye.
Mr. Hamilton?
Aye.
Ms. Lapode?
Aye.
Ms. Malkin?
Aye.
Mr. Tipton?
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Aye.
Okay. Can I get a motion on resolution 17-86, which is the adoption of the 2017 municipal budget? After the introduction and second, we'll open the public hearing.
Move resolution 17-86, adoption of the 2017 municipal budget.
Second.
Okay, we now move to the public hearing on the municipal budget. Public hearing open at, you got it, 7:16. Are there any comments, questions from the public? Yes, sir.
Mark Connors, 23 North Rushdale. Just trying to go over this thing quickly because obviously I can read. But one of the things I noticed is that the Public Works Department is down to $7,000. Does that mean we're contracting out all work now?
I'm sorry, it's down $7,000?
No.
Speak up a little.
It says the Public Works Department is down to $7,000. A year. Unless I'm reading it wrong. Which means to me that we now contract out everything except like 2% of the work, which is not cost effective. I don't care who's telling me that.
He's looking at the summary.
We need to save money, not spend money.
What page are you looking at there?
305.
He has a budget summary.
I have whatever you have in the back.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Everybody has that in their packet.
It's 26-290, if that helps.
And it's front and back. Here.
Public Health Services, 290. Public Works, Streets and Roads.
So my question is your intent to contract out all the work?
Can I ask that?
Yes, please. I was going to ask you, Ms. Malkin.
Yeah, actually, on the salaries and wages, we reduced that amount based on what the current trend was, what we were spending, and also comparing it to what we spent last year. That doesn't really mean we're changing.
Okay. Yeah. We adjusted salary and wages to what we projected this year. Last year, I think we spent about $10,000. So it's not. It looks like a dramatic decrease, but we were really just kind of adjusting appropriations to what we spent and what we project to spend.
And then it shows that the And I thought that we saved money by getting the clerk that we have, but it shows a drastic increase in that side.
On the clerk's salary, you're speaking? Yeah. If you look at the end of the budget, you'll see that we had a shared service with the borough of Hightstown, of which we spent, we budgeted $36,000. So actually, we are saving money. It's on the last page, page 5 of 5 of what you're looking at. You'll see like the fourth number down, shared services agreement, clerk, Hightstown, 36.4. So actually, we did reduce that.
We're
no longer using outside service. We have an in-house employee.
Well, we had an in-house employee before, didn't we? I mean, we paid her $45,000 a year or whatever it was.
No, we paid $36,000 a year to Hightstown under a shared service agreement to use their clerk. This year, we hired our own clerk directly.
Okay.
So it comes out of...
salaries and wages.
It's a shell game. It's moving numbers around.
Yeah.
Is what it really is. It's hard for people to read this and tell what's going on because we're moving money.
Yeah.
And we're not letting people know we're moving money. We're just putting lines in here very quickly instead of putting them together so that one shows next to the other so you can see what's going on.
Yeah.
You got to read page 2, then go to page 5 to see what's going on with it.
Yeah.
It should be a clean, easy thing to read. It shouldn't be you got to sit down for 3 hours to read it when you're getting when you walk in the room at night.
Well, we're following the state budget format, and that's the way. This is the order that the state requires us to put the budget in. So this is mirroring the state budget format.
Okay.
Whereas a shared service is towards the end of the budget, outside the cap, a salary and wage employee is inside the cap.
However, there's nothing stopping us from putting a note in there saying, you know. Making it easier for people to understand what's going on is called transparency. Mm-hmm. It's not happening. This is getting more confusing. Mm. I'm sorry, it is.
Okay.
I know you're staying within the guidelines of the law and doing all those things, and that's beautiful. But sometimes keeping it simple for people like me makes it much easier for us to understand things. Because when I see a number going up instead of down, that means you're spending more money. Okay?
George, I want to ask you something. You said that we showed $10,000 in public works salary and wages last year, but we're down to $7,000 in 2017.
Yeah, it's based on what we spent so far. We what we're projected. We're spending less in public works. A little less than last year, but we had more budgeted last year. That's all. And again, this budget is budget to budget.
Right. Yeah. Okay, just want to make sure I understood correctly.
So, Jeff, you were looking at 26-290? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
The one that I believe that Mr. Connors had brought up.
Okay.
The public hearing is still open. Are there other people who have questions or comments regarding the budget? And I agree, Mr. Connors. Reading municipal budgets, including the backup of those budgets, is a royal pain in the neck.
I understand that. So if you give this to the public to read tonight on the meeting, you got to make it easier for them to read.
This is published, just for point of information, this was published on the website. We're required by law to publish it on the website. RoseLawNJ.org.
If I may, I think maybe what Mr. Connor's talking about is when there's a large difference between last year's budget and this year's budget, if the accounting folk can maybe put a little paragraph on the bottom that says, because of this, this has changed, because of this, this has changed, just to make it simpler to follow for laymen that don't do budgets like that.
I'm not objecting to his suggestion.
So budget highlights or something.
Budget highlights differences between this year and last year.
Used to be known. One of the things that the school used to do, and I think they did a pretty good job on budgets because their budgets have to be voted on.
Excuse me, if you could put it in, we're still in the public hearing.
Yeah, well, I just want to respond to Mr. Connors. It's relevant to that. It is difficult to understand the municipal budgets, but I think that we can do a narrative and put it in narrative form and highlight, as Joe was saying, highlight some of the changes in the budget, make it easier for the public to read and a little more accessible. It's taken me 10 years to really learn how to read municipal budgets and have any real degree of understanding, and it is difficult to read them. The state doesn't make it easy to read them at all, but that's something that we could do in the future, given enough time.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your time if you have questions, comments, concerns about the budget. Okay. There being none, we close it at 7:24. Start with mine.
Do we need a motion to close the public hearing, or is it just closed?
I just closed the public hearing.
Okay, good.
Now move on to anything members of the council have questions or comments about the budget. I would say very briefly, as I said at the last meeting, this budget, despite the demands for more maintenance and more inspection and more work at our utilities, cuts back on those programs, which I don't think is a good idea. I think that we really need to increase our maintenance, but we're not going to be able to do it with this budget. I've also stated that I believe I saw that there was some correction, but I believe that cutting out the attorney's fees and having fewer services when we keep calling him and asking him questions is not the best way to go. But I've stated my position, and I'm not voting on it. So I'm going to ask for a roll call. Please.
Ms. Bona.
All right.
Mr. Hamilton.
Yes.
Ms. Lapode.
Yes.
Ms. Malkin.
Aye.
Mr. Ticton.
Aye.
Mr. Trammell.
Aye.
Okay. And the 2017 municipal budget is approved. Oh, I have to stole yours. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Just ignore mine.
Just on a question on the side, Mr. Mayor, Jeff.
Yes.
When will they come and do the street sweeping? Do we know yet? Or
I believe I'll have to refer to Public Works. I think we've got to. They do it on their schedule, I believe. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we authorize. Okay. So we provide them with a resolution to show it's authorized. I think the charge was about $1,600.
Yeah.
And then they will schedule it when they.
Okay.
Along with the others. We now move to reports of committee chairs. We're going to start with Michael Hamilton, Councilman Hamilton for Public Works.
Thank you. As was mentioned, we do have a resolution to approve street cleaning for the borough, and that was a result of using a shared services or an interlocal agreement with, and we were able to get a pretty good read on it. I think it was close to $1,600, which I think is a good price on it. One of the main issues that we need to address is the roof, replacing the roof on Borough Hall. We've done a lot of research. We received four quotes. We had quotes prior. We just received four more quotes. And after a lot of consideration of the quotes by Anna DeBevic, who's our finance person in the office, and after consultation with Jim Blair, who's a state construction official, it also happens that the lowest quote was Trenton Roofing and Siding. They came in at the lowest price, and they were also recommended by the state officials. Our state construction official said that he's seen a lot of roofing projects done by Trenton Roofing and Siding. He hasn't had or heard of any complaints. They do a lot of work. That's all that they do. The only problem with, well, their quote was $14,875 to replace the roof on the Borough Hall section of the building. They didn't provide a quote for gutters. That's the one thing that was missing. But I would recommend to the council that we approve the quote that they gave for $14,875, and this was Anna DeBevick's recommendation as well. We have the funds to pay for it. They were authorized prior by the council. It's not, bids aren't needed, so we have the funds to do it, and I recommend that we approve it and not delay on getting that done, because it's not going to get any better, as I said previously. And but we do need to find a way to also get a second quote, or talk to Trenton Roofing and Siding about the possibility of doing the gutters as well. I think they need to be replaced, not just cleaned out. We need all new gutters.
The soffits are in pretty bad shape, too.
Yeah. So I don't know if we need a resolution, or if we can do a resolution tonight for that, or if we need to wait on that and have a formal resolution on that.
Better to have a written resolution, I think.
Okay. Then we'll hold off to the next meeting and do that and get the ball rolling.
Okay, I'm going to ask the obvious question. Which roof?
The roof on the Borough Hall side of it, not on the...
not on the first aid
squad? Not on the first aid squad. I think we kind of bifurcated it into two separate things, because both, they're different types of roofs, too, and we may have different specs for the other roof.
Okay, great. Thank you.
On a question there, Mike.
Yeah.
Will there be flashing done between the first aid squad roof and the Borough Hall roof? Will they do that also?
Was that in the specs, Kelly? Do you remember?
Flashing.
Flashings between the two roofs. It wasn't in the specs.
Mike, can I ask you a favor? When you talk, you tend to lean to one side, which I often do.
I'll lean into
Could you move the microphone to that side?
Sure.
Okay, thank you.
We'll look into that and try to address that with the vendor and make sure by the time we do have this on the agenda for approval that we have, make sure that they're covering that as well.
One thing to look out for, I was just reminded of, if the gutters go over 17.5, or if collectively they go over 17.5, we're in a different bidding process.
No, they look like they're going to go between 2 to 4,000. Some of the vendors gave bids, and they range from 2,200 to roughly around 4,000. So I don't think we'll go
over
that.
Just a heads up.
Yeah, thank you.
But wouldn't that be included with the roofing?
Well,
yes.
No, if you're,
or are you going to keep them separate?
No, I think Mike is saying if you combine them that they still come out to under 17.5.
No, not 14,875.
No, but
2,200.
If you do the roof now and you do the gutters later, you get quotes for the gutters.
Not do it together.
Right. Otherwise, if you're doing them together, you should bid the whole thing.
All right. We'll talk about that more.
You can't split the project.
Well, are you splitting the project? I mean, they went out to do roofing.
Taking what Catherine said, you add them together, they're both over 17.5, and it becomes one project.
Take that one.
I mean, you know.
I suggest we're getting into
a legal discussion
about when you hit 17.5 and when you don't. We may want to do that later.
Under circumstances, if you have quotes on the, what is it, the gutters and leaders and all that stuff, I mean, that probably would suffice. If you have quotes on both, I mean,
if
you're below.
Yeah. The issue, ladies and gentlemen, just so you're not sitting here blankly, is that at certain price points, there are different purchasing procedures. So in some cases, you don't have to get a quote. In some cases, you have to get two or three quotes. In some cases, you have to go for a full bid. I'm not describing the whole process, but basically it ramps up in the amount of work that you have to do, the number of places you have to go, and how much it costs. So we're talking about what triggers that, and one of those triggers is $17,500 for this town. And the discussion is about do we combine the leaders, gutters, and roof, or are they two separate things?
You're right. If you're planning to do one project, and that project is, you expect it's going to go over 17.5, it should go through the formal bidding process.
Well, Jerry just had a good idea, I thought. In case anyone doesn't know, this is George Lang, and he's our chief financial officer, and that's Jerry Stankiewicz, and he is our auditor.
Ask him if he'll do the whole thing for 17.49. It's a public meeting. It's not going to talk to the public. Don't talk.
ask them if we'll do the whole project for $17,490.
But then you don't have the benefit of the quotes on the gutters.
Well, I think he's saying the whole thing. He's saying go back to Trenton and say,
ask
hey,
him if he can
do
the
roof
and
the
gutters
for $17,490.
That way you don't have a bid problem.
But then you don't have quotes on the gutters.
Well, you're still getting
you could still get the quotes.
Yeah.
Or you quote it with, have them quote it with the gutters as well.
Well, then you'd have to do that for everyone. I don't know how it went out.
I think you'd have to rebid.
Yeah.
But when we went out the first time, it was gutters and roof or just roof?
Gutters.
Separately.
Some people quoted on gutters and roof, and they separated out the two numbers.
Okay.
But Trenton Roofing and Siding did not quote us on gutters.
So they didn't meet our requirements.
Right.
Yeah.
That's not common.
But we'll talk about how to address it. My main things here is getting the best price that we can, and also meeting the law. And, you know, having the best vendor to do it, too, the one who does the best work. So we'll look at those issues. Again, the bid threshold is $17,500, and the issue, just to clarify, is will it be, if it approaches or goes over, the bid threshold is $17,500, we need to go out to bid on it. And quite frankly, if we do, that may be the best way to get the best quotes. That, you know, make it competitive, no. Make everybody bid and have identical specs that they bid on. And if we have to go that route, then maybe in the public's best interest, and that's fine. One of my goals is to just move ahead as quickly as we can with it and not allow it to damage the building any further. End of report.
No more fleas, termites, and
right.
And messed up records.
Could I ask a question on that report? Were you able to get a hold of Carmela and see if she could look at the first aid part of the building and look at the roof with her architect and give us a price quote?
Yeah, I spoke to Carmela Roberts, who is our borough engineer on non-utility kind of issues, about, I guess it was about 2 months ago, possibly 3 months ago, and she did make some recommendations on it. She would be glad to come in when we are ready to address that section of the building and look at that. She also recommended the possibility of hiring an architect to, if we want to do any major modifications, she recommended that.
I thought at the last meeting that we had talked about getting a quote from Carmela for how much it would cost to kind of raise the roof in there and do that. So I was hoping that we had been able to get some quotes, that's all.
Well, we can address that at a public works meeting, and I'd be glad to have a committee meeting if people want to address that issue.
I would suggest, however, it's come up in numerous meetings. And we keep saying, yeah, we're going to do it tomorrow. And it does affect what we do with the roof on both of those. So if we get her out here sooner rather than later so we can have some idea of what the cost is.
That's fine with me.
You can deal with it? Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay.
Councilmember Michael Ticton, Community Development, Code Enforcement, and Senior Representative.
Okay. One thing I can report on is that we've apparently getting some resolution on a problem that's existed for many years, though it's been unbeknownst to most people since it's rather hidden from view, namely a property on North Rushdale Avenue with a four-acre property with an old farmhouse that's been unoccupied for many years, been deteriorating, and over 20 cars in various states of deterioration on the property. And finally, the owner has made an agreement with the county, and the county is going to take ownership as of sometime in September, and meanwhile the cars are being taken out of there. So, you know, the potential environmental hazard that those cars cause is being resolved, and the county has charge of it, so it's not something the borough is going to get stuck with at some point, which might otherwise have possibly happened. Okay.
Stacey Bona, Administration and Environmental Commission Representative.
So the Environmental Commission performed a stream monitoring on June 29th. It had been postponed a few times, but they finally got out there and got it done. We'll be posting the no ATV, et cetera signs at the trail entrances in the near future. And the 4th of July celebration, the Environmental Commission had a table. It was a big success. And that's all I have tonight. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Anything from Public Works or our clerks to report?
We did have a wedding. Did you mention the wedding?
Oh, yes. Ms. Bonner performed a wedding in town. Always a happy event. I had to leave town and make sure I stayed out in order for her to do that, but she did a fine job. Certainly much better than I would have. Counselor, anything to report?
No report, ma'am.
Ms. Malkin, Finance and Planning Board Representative.
Okay. Well, Finance, obviously, we adopted the budget tonight. The Planning Board has not met since the last council meeting, but I would just like to say that I feel that it won't be the same going to the Planning Board meetings without Ed Gertzman there. He was such a light and such a delight. I feel really sad. And as far as recreation, we had a lovely July 4th celebration. We got a lot of positive feedback from it. I think that we had a very good turnout. Hopefully next year we'll even have a better turnout. But all in all, we all got a lot of really good feedback about it. And I know there's some issues about camp, so should we address that at the end of the meeting, or?
Yeah, I guess let's do it under new business, but.
Yeah.
I didn't have the names, but are there particular people you want to thank for July 4th?
Can you give me a minute, and I'll, because there were many,
sure.
So.
Why don't we do that under new business?
Okay, and I'll make
okay.
My list.
Councilmember Dr. Lapote, Utilities. A hot topic in the last month.
Right. So as you reported in the mayor's report, there had been an incident at the end of June involving the water system. As I understand it, what had happened was that a number of people reported that they had brown water. And in checking out why their water would have been turning brown, the water and sewer operator, Toby Moore, discovered that the tank that introduces a base into our water, sodium hydroxide, had the pump had failed. And in failing, the pump had acted as a siphon and had siphoned 14 gallons of sodium hydroxide into the water system when it should have been less than 1 gallon. So that caused the water to become very basic. That disrupted the water treatment, and it also created the brown water condition. In order to alleviate the situation, the entire tower had to be drained, which meant that the hydrants had to be flushed, and during all of that time you were not able to use water. Having found the problem was the pump on June 30th, Toby ordered a new chemical feed pump, an anti-siphon valve, the idea being that there's a special valve you can put on the pump so that it doesn't reverse and siphon. Sunday's problem was the same problem. In this case, our weekend water and sewer operator, George Vasseur, had repaired the pump and plugged it in and started it up. But it did the siphon thing again, and this time it was caught with only 7 gallons of additional sodium hydroxide, so it was easier to flush the system, but nevertheless, it's still the same problem. In troubleshooting the issue today, Toby found that the pump that he had ordered on June 30th had not been shipped, and the company admitted it was their error, and will ship overnight, so we should get the new pump with the anti-siphon valve tomorrow. Toby also came up with an idea to elevate the pump so that it is above the level of the sodium hydroxide, so you can't have this siphon issue occur. And so he and George have been working on a new shelf that brings the pump way high and alleviates the problem. One additional point is that the council had approved a device which would be installed on the finished water line. In other words, the line after the water is all done with its treatment processes on its way to the tower. And that would check the chlorine levels, and it would check the pH levels. And it would have an alarm that would tell you when these are out of parameters. So I think that the ultimate solution to the problem is this automatic pH sensor with chlorine sensor with alarm system that would alert the town if there's anything going wrong with the treatment process, and we would be able to jump on it and stop the water from going to the tower, and then we wouldn't have the whole town having the water flushing. So I certainly am sorry that the incident occurred, both incidents. I was out of town for one of them, and we have a troubleshooting, we have a root cause, and we have a solution as we move forward. I want to continue the report to talk about the sewage treatment plant.
Before we go there, I do want to make one comment because I see some glassy eyes, and until I had to yank the cord out of it, I was rather glassy-eyed too. There's a big tank that holds the chemical that raises the pH, and in that tank there's a tube, the same kind that we call it a siphon because it's the same kind that they used to siphon gas out of your gas tank in the 70s when we had the shortages. And so it comes out, it goes into a little box, and that little box you can think of as, if you've ever seen a drip, a nurse's drip, that regulates how much of that comes in. Well, if the pump is turned on, it will regulate the amount that goes in. If the pump is turned off, there's a little valve that's supposed to keep it from doing that little siphon thing. But when that valve breaks, especially when the pump broke, what then happens is it just continues siphoning. So it's pulling that chemical, more of that chemical, into the water. So that's what Dr. Lipotti means by a siphon. And if you all knew that, I'm sorry. Sorry, Jill.
I'll go on to the sewage treatment plant. I have previously reported at these council meetings that there are a number of problems at the sewage treatment plant. The sodium hypochlorite tanks have not been changed. We're still working down the sodium hypochlorite supply, and that has been put off. However, the valves at the base of the primary settling tanks have been replaced. And at the time when I reported that to the council, I said I thought they were going to have to shut down the sewage treatment plant while those valves were replaced. Instead, Toby was able to install a bypass for primary settling and send the sewage directly to the trickling filter while they worked on the valves at the base of primary settling. Normally, you would never be able to do this kind of thing, to bypass primary settling entirely. Primary settling takes out 35% of your solids. It really is an integral part of the process. The reason that Toby was able to direct the sewage flow directly to the trickling filters was because our sewage is so dilute. It is almost clear water, and so they were able to bypass primary settling. They have replaced those valves, and the primary settling is back on. I also mentioned that the auger had been sent out for repair because it had been unable to be completely cleaned of all of those wipes that people throw down the toilet, and that We had sent out a notice based on wording that Councilman Malkin gave me about what we should say in the notice, and a notice went to everyone in town. Don't throw out wipes down the toilet. They may be considered flushable wipes. That means they'll go through your toilet. They stop at the sewage treatment plant, and they are a problem. So the auger is still out for repair, and while it is, we have the bar screen that is being used to take out any of those kinds of materials. Toby has sent me a picture of the bar, what they're using now to get rid of these wipes, and basically it is a rake and then a bucket filled with wipes. This is really not an optimal way to treat your sewage. It is, well, I will gladly send you the picture. We can pass it around should anyone want to see it. Yes? Want to see it? But
I couldn't resist.
That's fine. So we are hopeful that the auger will be back in place and we can get that back working. Meantime, the sulfur dioxide line has been slowly leaking and is dissolving the concrete floor under the cylinders. So I have a color picture of this one, as well as a black and white. And the sulfur dioxide situation is going to be alleviated by putting a line through the conduit that we use to introduce chlorine, and that's underground, and then we should stop the sulfur dioxide leak. There's yet another leak, and this one is the hydrant that is next to the trickling filters. The leak has been severe enough to cause the compromise of the hill side, and you can see severe erosion in the yard. The leak has been something like 30,000 gallons a day, which is a great leak. So that on Wednesday, a new valve and hydrant are being installed, and at the same time, a new shutoff valve is being put in the yard so we can deal with that situation. But when the mayor mentioned during the discussion about the budget that maintenance is an issue at our water and sewer plants, There are a lot of problems, and we can continue to try to fix one after another, but it is a tenuous situation, and you are, the public, are the ones that are affected by this. Thanks.
Thank you.
I have some questions about about the report. Mrs. Lapote, you said on 7-9 we had that problem with the pump, and did we order a new pump?
7-9?
I'm sorry, the first issue was on 6-27. Let's get to that one first.
Right, 6-27. The pump was ordered on 6-30.
The pump failed. The initial pump failed.
Correct.
And 14 gallons siphoned into the system.
Yes.
So we ordered a new chemical feed pump, and did we receive it, and was it installed?
It was not received, and that I reported on that. The when Toby contacted the company, he found that it had not been shipped. They agreed it was their error, and they will ship overnight, and we should receive it tomorrow. We had thought it would come on Friday. And Friday, of course, the office was closed due to the flea situation, so I was somewhat concerned there, but it turns out they hadn't shipped it. Now we'll get it tomorrow.
And so yesterday's problem was the same one, because that pump was never never repaired, or a new pump wasn't put in, because
actually,
we didn't have it.
No. Actually, the problem was that the pump was repaired. George Vassourd attempted to repair the pump and reinstalled it on Sunday.
Okay.
And however, it had not been properly repaired, and the same issue occurred with the siphon.
So what pump was this? Was this
the
original pump?
It was the old pump that George rebuilt.
He rebuilt it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, Mike, I want to, sorry, Councilmember Hamilton, I want to be clear on it, because as others have said, I was there. When the original pump went bad, it was unplugged from the wall, it was disconnected from the system, and the main pipe that would have allowed that chemical to come into the plant was closed. It remained that way for about a week and a half. During that time, so on Sunday morning, when it had been closed for a week and a half, the pH level was 6.5. Right. Reminder, it's 7 to 8.5 for the audience. 7 to 8.5 is normal and good. When the call came in at 9:45, give or take, it was up to 11:45. Pump was still off. Okay, the tank was still disconnected. I yanked the siphon out, but that main valve was still closed. We couldn't figure out how, and I think Toby was on the phone with me at like 10:30 going, this is not literally possible. But when I spoke to George, he said that he had tried to repair it during the day. And one of the repair parts that he had pulled off the shelf was defective. So that means that some period during the day, everything had been turned back on and then turned off before we got there. So during the between 8:30 in the morning and when we showed up at around 10 o'clock, it had been opened, the chemicals had come in. My inclination, this is not fact, my inclination is that it happened later in the day, because if that report of brown water didn't come in until 9:45 at night from somebody at the end of Farm Lane, which is usually the first point of a problem. So, you know, if I had to guess, sometime between 4 and 6:30, but I didn't ask.
Okay. All right. So the other things I'm questioning, too, is so Toby had an idea to elevate the pump so the problem doesn't occur again, and that might prevent, is that to prevent the back siphoning of it? Okay, so, and that's how the chemicals were getting into the system with that backflow.
Mm-hmm.
Did we consult our engineer on that, or was this, my concern is that we're doing design changes, and we're not consulting with our engineering people on the design changes.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it might be wise, since this is a recurring problem and affects everybody in town, just to make sure that we use our utility engineer if we're going to re-engineer something, we make sure we have the recommendations on it to make sure that it's done
I think
the right
that's
way.
Excellent. I'll be happy to contact them.
But I understand that in an emergency situation, you do with what you have the best that you can. And I know George, he's a good man on the spot trying to figure out solutions to things. But I think making sure that if you're going to make a design change to a system, that we're not engineers and neither are our operators, that we make sure we get engineering specs from them on it.
I think it would also be helpful if we had better communication. One of the problems is that George knows that system, but there's only one licensed operator.
Yeah.
He's the one who's responsible and the one who's going to get fined and the one who's going to have. So it really needs to go up through the operator, which is Toby.
Okay.
And we need to have a discussion. You said we're not engineers. I'm damn sure not an engineer.
Yeah.
We need to have discussions about, and I've asked for a meeting of utilities, which they're holding, to talk about how we do this.
Yeah.
Because having me out there as opposed to somebody from utilities is not a good... I've learned the pH testing, we've learned the hydrants, we've learned all the rest of it, but that's why we have committees. So.
Yeah, and my other question was about the having that device that we approved to check the chlorine levels and the pH levels with an alarm system. Can we hook up that kind of system so it automatically sends a computerized alert to Toby? I know we have a lot of automated systems that do that. When a problem occurs, he's notified or paged or sent a text by it.
Part of what happened yesterday was that alarm, in part or whole, was disconnected. So he was reading, this came up this morning.
Okay.
We were saying, basically, it's getting worse, it's getting worse. He's looking at a tablet which is telling him that the tank is at 66, when in fact it was declining down to 22.
Right.
So somewhere in there, there's a, you know, clearly a glitch, but
yeah.
If we can get that fixed, yeah.
But the idea is to have them notified and have them come in,
That's the idea. I agree.
Yeah.
And he was here at 2:30 in the morning, which is why Joe had asked me if I could ask Toby to be here tonight so he could talk to people. Toby was up since 2:30 in the morning. He went home to bed. So we'll. I think that was the best choice there. But I have no problem talking with R3M about the design and the pump system. I do believe that the new pump is, clearly, if we had been able to install it on Friday, we would not have had the problem on Sunday. So that's a shame.
Did you say the pump was disconnected?
Yes.
Or unplugged?
Were we
manually making
adjustments? No, if you remember that it had gotten fairly high when they unplugged it.
Yeah.
So high pH is more of a hazard than low pH.
Right.
So by unplugging it, that was how we got a result of 6.5 on Sunday morning.
Okay.
Could have been unplugged for a week and a half.
Yeah.
So you wanted
the safest course.
The pH level to go down quickly.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Well, over 7 or 14 days, whatever it was.
Not quick
also,
enough.
Quick being subjective, right?
Could we have R3M come to a meeting? I've asked many times, but I think it would be beneficial if we could have someone from R3M come and really explain the whole rundown from A to Z.
Okay, that would be a different issue, though.
It's a separate issue, but I think it would be beneficial if we had someone from R3M come to the next council meeting.
Okay, and can I jump in for a second? Because I spent about 20 hours or so this past 2 weeks looking at the water and sewer plants there. Can you hear me back there? Thank you very much. Okay. So the box, the pump we're talking about is smaller than a bread box. And what it does is it introduces the sodium hydroxide into the system a little at a time. And it would make for the proper pH, which should be around 7 to 8.5 for quality drinking water. And we have had that for apparently 8 or 9 or 10 years. That pump has been working pretty well. From what I understand, there was a delivery of sodium hydroxide the day before. The whole thing went crazy, the 26th of June. And then on the 27th, we started getting the word that there was a problem with brown water. I want to say stuff about maintenance also. I think there should be more oversight and more maintenance to the system that we should all be aware, at least of us up here, as to how the system works and what everybody's job responsibilities are. And who does what, where, and when. I was a little surprised when I made the rounds that Toby was emptying fire hydrants, and George was in the woods across the street from the water tower trying to clear a pipe there that would allow us to dump directly from the tower into the woods, and the assistant was standing on the street watching George, and I would think that he would have been there helping down in the woods, clearing the debris away from the pipe and stuff like that. Also, I had a long talk with everybody involved, Toby and George and Allie, and I also spoke with Rich Sauce, the electrician, who said that there might be another angle from this problem, that the settling tank where all of the iron settles to the bottom and it gets siphoned out into another holding tank for the iron, and it gets trucked away occasionally, that if there's too much sludge on the bottom of that tank, when the pump stops, it might create like a back-and-forth pressure, which could, in fact, start the siphoning action. So, yeah, if the tube is in there and the pump stops, and then there's back-and-forth, like, not hammering per se, but there is, like, motion in the water rocking back-and-forth, it could, in fact, vacuum water or vacuum sodium hydroxide from the tank. So the question is, when was the last time that the settling tank was, as these guys called it, sticked. When's the last time it was emptied of the iron on the bottom of the tank? So there are a few different things that might be causing this problem, and if you get a new pump in and the same problem happens again, I think we should start looking at other things. Also, I want to get Red Shoes, the electrician, to sit down with me and to draw basic block diagrams of what electricity is where and what it does, because when the main pump stops, the chlorine pump stops, the aerator stops, and the sodium hydroxide pump stops. All of that is working properly. So I'd like for us to have at our fingertips that sort of information in case we ever need, in case there's an emergency and we need to know what to do. Also, I'd like to go through with Toby and George and do a footprint of all these water tower, water purification, and sewer plants, and to know where all the piping is and to know where it all goes. This should all be available in a small book so that anybody should be able to read it. There are flow charts. You know how to look at flow charts. We all do. So in terms of oversight, I think we as a council need to be able to understand how these systems work, whether we're going to repair them ourselves or whether we can look at a block diagram or a flow chart of the system and figure out what the most reasonable thing to do at the time. I trust George. I trust Toby. Ali is new. I'm not sure what his story is yet. But I think we as a council and as a committee, and again, I've only been involved with this for the past couple of weeks, we need oversight, and we need to know routine maintenance, and we need to know preventative maintenance to deal with these plants. We need to know how to tell our people what to do, and we need to see that they do it.
I would agree. Well, let me back up a little bit. Much of this is generally handled by the oversight by the engineers. We should have a lot of that material. I mean, we asked Carmelo's firm to do that. R3M was doing it. That's why they went out and counted the manholes. So I don't think we need, but I could be wrong, that we need the operator to go out and redo what the engineers have already done.
I'm not saying we should get the operator to redo what the engineers have done.
So
we should know what the engineers have done, and we should know in a practical sense how these systems work.
Yes.
In a practical sense, not an engineering sense.
I'm not disagreeing with you. However, you did make a point of saying a couple of times so that we can tell them how to operate.
We can oversee how they operate. That's what I meant. We're the overseers here. They're the employees. We want to make sure the employees are doing what we expect for them to do.
Okay, I think we have to talk with DEP. You're talking about a licensed operator. I'm not sure about the latitude we have in dealing with a licensed operator.
Let me just say this. When we were at the water tower, Toby had to call George to ask him what the most expedient way to dump the tower was.
That's because there's a fundamental disagreement. Let me respectfully say that I have not been at this for 2 weeks. I've been at this for 9 years. There are substantial problems up there. I agree with you. We have asked the engineers to do mapping. Much of that is out there. All I'm saying is that that is a highly regulated area, and we just need to be careful. That's all. There are rules about
Absolutely.
What we can do and can't do. I think
Absolutely.
We need to make sure
it's a lot of water pressure. It'll knock the wall down over there. Okay.
And my other comment was that I really would appreciate, I know the first time that this came up, you were in the midst of something. Jill was in Finland. Stacy was was actually at work. But as I pointed out last evening, I don't think I'm glad to do it. But I think we need everybody to get out there because we're a small town. A lot of the stuff we can do, I know Eitan has volunteered opening the hydrants, doing the pH levels. Part of the problem is that it's often much more efficient to have more than two people So there's one person at the plant, there's one person opening the hydrants, another person measuring the pH.
That's a communications part, absolutely.
Yeah. They all don't have to be licensed people.
Understood.
I mean, if I can learn how to use a pH meter, anybody can learn how to use a pH meter.
I measured mine this morning.
Okay. It's also, to be perfectly honest, cheaper. If I'm out there at whatever hour, if Kelly is out there at 2 o'clock in the morning, we're paying her maybe time and a half. If George is out there doing something that we could do, we're paying him time.
Okay. I don't think my point was to have everybody on the council out there doing work in the bushes and stuff. My point is that we should all understand in a basic sense how these systems work and whose responsibility these systems are.
I just changed the subject on you. I just changed the subject.
I see that,
right.
Okay.
So I'm just bringing up something else, which is it's good to have council volunteers when this stuff happens, and if people can get out, to get out. If you hear a reverse 911, just call and say, is there something we can do to help, and either help or I'll get out of the way. I know you came out. Unfortunately, we were at the last hydrant at the time. I'm just putting my view of my view of small town governance, and I've said this before, is that my first introduction to what a small town mayor does is when I went out I think I was about 14 to find my father. He was in a pit on Farm Lane with Irving Plunchen, and I said, "What are you doing?" He said, "We're fixing the pipe." I said, "Why are you doing that?" He said, "That's what mayors do."
Okay. I went down and helped George clear and figure out the valves down on the bottom there, and Allie stood on the road and watched this. So he's getting paid. If he was working for me, and I've had situations like that, if the old-timer's down on his knees pulling wires or whatever and the new guy is standing there watching him, I'd
okay,
fire him.
You're talking about an employee. Let's just be careful.
All right, just
okay.
me.
Well, okay. I want to reiterate my request that we speak to R3M at a council meeting. They're our engineers. They're licensed engineers.
Sure.
They can clarify some questions we may have.
Sure. They weren't there when this stuff was installed. This has been there long ago. This would be Carmela's territory, I think. But, you know,
They have been doing studies. That's why I'm saying let's not duplicate.
Okay. So can we ask them to come to the July 24th meeting?
I'd love to talk to them.
I suggest that we have that discussion in closed session as we have in the past, because we have brought this up five or six times before.
Well, this is a different issue.
Okay. So we move on now to... Oh, I'm sorry, Joe, were you...
I have no report for my safety. The only report I would be is talking about the health of the community and the water situation here. So I've said my piece. I have a lot more, but maybe we can do that in committee.
I agree it's a problem we should definitely be doing as well.
We'll do that in committee one day. Okay?
Yes.
So.
I do have one point for Councilmember Foti. This recurring flushable wipes problem.
Yes.
Are we aware of any sewer, any organization or governmental agency representing sewage treatment plant operators or entities that own them taking any sort of legal action, any sort of class action against the manufacturers of these products, since their use inevitably causes problems for sewer treatment?
I'm not aware of that, but
maybe
I can look it up.
Look into. Maybe
sure.
something to raise with DEP either now or maybe wait till January with the new administration, or maybe they'd be more eager to look at things. But I think it's something we ought to pursue if we can.
Based on the recent rulings on class actions, I do it today.
I'm sorry?
I said based on the recent view of class actions, if you're going to do it, I would do it today.
Uh-huh.
Because the Trump administration is trying to shut them down as quick as possible. We now move on to reports of borough officials if requested by mayor or committee chairs. Do any of you folks have a borough official you want to hear from? Okay. I guess I'll ask, Eitan, you are here. Is there a report that you need or want to give? None whatsoever. Okay. Eitan Grunwald is the chair of the Environmental Commission. We move on to old business, which is roof update, which I think we pretty well covered. New business, we've got three matters. The first is cemetery discussion regarding ordinance. This came up, I asked that this be put on. This came up again over the weekend regarding somebody who wanted to be buried in the center part of the, they were advised by the funeral home that they could not do that.
They want to be buried?
He wants to be buried where he was buried.
just didn't hear what word you said.
He wanted to be buried in the center section of the synagogue.
Okay.
I'm sorry, the cemetery.
Of the cemetery.
The funeral parlor said no. There was a bit of a hubbub. They finally got a hold of me, and I said, you can't do that. The person goes where he wants to go. We haven't changed that ordinance. We keep talking about keeping it for historical purposes. I think it's causing more problems and more heartbreak than it needs to. We're dealing with people who have usually just lost a loved one, and they have to get into some kind of debate about whether or not the person can be buried here or buried there. So I would respectfully request that we all consider finally changing that ordinance. And if we want to say for historical purposes we've included the original, I think that might work, Michael, for the concern that you had. Okay. I'd appreciate that. Use of Borough Hall, July 15th, from 3 to 7 p.m. We discussed this last week. I noted my objection due to an attorney general, action against the organization. You were going to look it up?
I didn't.
You didn't, okay.
I did look it up, and I have it printed
have it
out
here,
so if anyone would like to read it, here it is.
I would.
Yes, for her.
I would rather. The purpose here is not to embarrass people, so if you want to check it, make sure it's real, but I don't want to give it out to the audience. Of a 14-day window, but the issue is going to come up again.
Okay. Yeah.
Could you pass this down? I'll pass it. Yeah.
And Jeff, could I ask you about the cemetery thing again? I didn't catch where you were talking
the,
about.
The original ordinance said that the central part of the cemetery, so as you come up, there's that teardrop. The first section, which has most of them in a row, was the Hebrew section, and only people of the Jewish faith could be buried there.
Okay.
What's off to the right is the section owned by the synagogue, so I'm just talking about the town section.
Off to the left is the children's cemetery.
Right. And it's become an issue, it first became an issue because somebody asserted that somebody who wanted to be buried there was not Jewish enough or whatever. Following discussions, it's basically unconstitutional to restrict a public entity, a municipality, that owns, although there aren't many, that owns a cemetery. That municipality shouldn't be telling people what their religion is and who can be buried based on religion. So we had this discussion before. I think we determined that anybody who wanted to be buried in that section, assuming that they met the other requirements, could be. Mr. Tickton had pointed out that we had a historical ordinance and that the fact that we're not enforcing it meant we didn't have to change it because we wanted to keep the historical ordinance, which I certainly understand. Unfortunately, it's becoming a practical problem.
Okay. And do you know the ordinance right offhand, Michael? Or?
The ordinance, as I said, the ordinance specifies that central section.
The original ordinance.
Yeah, which is the ordinance that continues to be in effect. It says that. Yeah.
But do you know what the number is?
I'm sorry.
Do you know what the number is?
I'd like number, to look it up. You look it up, and you know, I don't have the book in front of me what the number is.
Who denied it initially this time? Who said, no, you can't be buried there?
The funeral.
Right. So, well, why couldn't we? I mean, I used to be the point person on the cemetery. Why couldn't we have someone, I mean, I would do it, be the liaison to the cemetery manager so then I could explain to him that.
Well,
we can do it.
The problem is it's not always the same. It wasn't the cemetery manager. It was the funeral home.
Right.
So many people use different funeral homes, and the concern is, to date, I've been getting those calls. The concern that I have is you have usually an upset widow who is trying to work through all this and then calls up and says, I've just been told I can't bury my husband where I want to. And I don't think it's fair to put them through that if, in fact, we're not going to prevent them. So my suggestion was that we change the ordinance so that funeral homes don't try to go through this.
They
I mean, they're just trying to do their job, right?
Right, but I mean, they could, you know, we could have it so that I contact the funeral home, which I've done in the past.
But we still have an unconstitutional ordinance on our books. You know, Michael's position is made,
Yeah, it's not clear that it's constitutional. It's not clear. It's not.
Yeah, it's murky.
It's murky.
Yeah, it's not clear.
Yeah. But I would rather try that first.
Yeah. The one thing we can't do is the borough can't be making a determination as to who's Jewish.
That is clear.
Yes.
So if people assert that they're Jewish, then the borough has to accept that. That's for clear. That's
clear.
For sure.
Yeah.
Right, but they don't necessarily have to assert that they are Jewish. Let me put it to this way: if somebody calls up and says, "My husband has lived in this town for 40 years. He wants to be buried there."
In that spot.
My response is, great. Ordinance 52-6.
Right.
You guys are good.
Well, 52 to...
I don't know.
You're probably better off giving the codified chapter number.
Okay.
I mean, 52-6.
16-2 is in the...
16?
16-2 is the chapter in the borough code book. 16-2.
Anyway, if we're not going to enforce it and it's causing problems, why not change it and just say underneath for historical purposes, this was the original ordinance?
Yeah, it was left in the ordinance. We did a lot of cleanup when we did the codification.
Yes, did.
There are a number of things in the ordinance that were problematic, like
cremation.
What could be on cremation, what could be on headstones, where the borough would be making religious determinations. That one we had left in because there was an opinion from the 1980s from
right.
the state attorney general saying mm-hmm. that in regard to a request from another state agency whether there you could have a separate section in the Brigadier General Doyle
mm-hmm.
Cemetery, whether you could have a separate section for a particular religion. At that time, the state attorney general said that you could as an accommodation. But that was in the 1980s. There's been a lot of case law since then that might cast some doubt on that. And since that time, the Brigadier General Doyle Cemetery has stopped doing that. They no longer have a separate section, and they inter everyone of all faiths together. And when we inquired as to why that was, we were told. I spoke to a Deputy Attorney General who told me that the Veterans Administration, the Federal Veterans Administration, made them do that. And we've asked, we've tried to get someone from the Veterans Administration several times to explain why they did that, and no one's ever gotten back to them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you've heard my request. You've heard my request, if we can work something out. And I think the problem, Peggy, is that you won't always be here, I won't always be here. They can't always reach you, they can't always reach me,
well,
and it just causes unnecessary heartache on somebody who's already got quite a bit on their plate. Number two, so going back to use of the Borough Hall on July 15 from 3 to 7, I am requesting that somebody make a motion to decline that request based on the Attorney General's consent order.
So moved.
Do we have a second?
Or so defined as.
Okay, second.
Okay. We don't need a voice vote on that one. Okay. Let's is there a question before discussion?
For what? For the
You leaned forward, I thought
thing?
You were gonna
No, I couldn't hear.
Oh, okay. No. This is for use of the Borough Hall on July 15th.
Right.
Okay. And the motion is to decline the request. Okay. So let's do a roll call.
Can I ask just a quick question? Have we spoken to the people who requested use of Borough Hall and explained it to them why we can't do it?
I have not, no.
I think it's not a bad idea to reach out to them and explain why so that they know it's not anything punitive, you know.
Okay. Actually, saw them today. It probably would have been a good idea.
Yeah. It's a tough day to do it.
I can call them. Have you seen the order? You seen the order?
Okay. Yeah.
Roll call.
Ms. Bona.
An aye means you're declining it.
Thank you. Aye.
Mr. Hamilton.
Abstain.
Ms. Lapode.
Aye.
Ms. Malkin.
Abstain.
Mr. Tickton.
Aye.
Mr. Trammell?
Abstain.
Okay.
3-3.
No,
3-0.
3-0. Oh, 3-0-3, that's right. Yes, thank you.
Okay. So, can we arrange a nice letter, or do you want me to write it? You send them an email and a letter. I'm asking our borough staff.
Yes.
Yes. Did you take the bus or bring your lunch? Would you like me to write a letter, or do you folks want to do the first draft?
We can try the first draft.
Cool.
But it'll be faster if you do like.
I know, but I get to use the red pen.
Oh.
Okay. Last item is camp. Very generic. A summer camp was scheduled. Oh, okay. Okay, we have a letter regarding the camp. So there were, there's a lot of back and forth on Facebook about the camp, and then the camp being parents being unsatisfied with the camp, then the camp being, or part of the camp being canceled. I don't know all the facts, so I'm going to ask. But I've been handed a letter dated today to the members of the council and the Roosevelt Public School PTA. Is that to or from? I'll go ahead and read it. Camp should have started this week, but does the audience have this?
No.
Okay. Camp should have started this week, but instead we have a canceled program that no town parent asked for in the first place, and which wouldn't have met our needs anyway. We wanted to keep our children and our money here and in support of town programs, but Peggy, have you seen this one?
It's in her packet. It's in everyone's packet.
But many had to find more suitable options, and some of us are frantically scrambling about what to do next. It doesn't have to be this way. First, we need you to understand that recreation programs, long-term, are as important as the town's physical infrastructure. Letting kids of diverse age groups play with each other and learn from each other is as much the lifeblood of the town as the town water system. It is a whole lot easier to fix. So, second, we'd like you to consider, officially or not, a parent advisory group to work with the recreation director to hear our needs and ideas. We got more done in a few hours. Well, they suggest that would be more efficient. All of us are working parents. If I'm not reading this verbatim. If a program cares for a child, it's child care. We want school choice students to participate and to include their friends. We're open to wider enrollment and tiered pricing to keep programs fiscally sound. We believe we can do better. Please clear any administrative hurdles to us working together to put a proper program in place for 2018. It is signed by Leanne, I'm sorry, but Demichowsik. Did I get that right, if anybody knows?
She's here.
Come. Donhofsky, thank you. Sorry, it's difficult for me to read it. So I think that that's probably best left to recreation, to interface with the parents.
Well, this is what I'll say. I agree completely. We absolutely need or should have some kind of child care program for the summer. Historically, Roosevelt only had, as I said before, a sort of little socialization and activities program. For many, many years, it was run by Margaret Schlinsky, and then, you know, throughout the years, other people have taken it over. But it was mostly to just give the kids in town a few hours to play with other children and have some supervised activities. They also swam at Pine Valley Swim Club, which doesn't exist anymore. And obviously, the needs of parents has changed drastically in the, you know, last many years. I know Eric Schubiger, our recreation director, tried very hard. Once he found out that Larissa Bondi could not do it, she was the a teacher from the Roosevelt School who ran the camp for the I'm not really sure how many summers, but, and she had college students helping her, and they were not available this summer. So I know that he scrambled to find something, and the best that he could find was this company that ran these programs a week at a time, 6 weeks. But apparently, according to the company and from what I'm reading, as because I'm not on Facebook, so I've just gotten everything recently, but apparently not enough children from each age group signed up for these programs, and the company does not want to allow the mixing of ages. So we do have a problem. Roosevelt never had the wherewithal to run its own full-time camp in the summer. But that doesn't solve the parents' problems. So if this group can form, you know, some kind of committee and come up with an alternative solution for next year, that would be wonderful. We also discussed a little bit of possibly maybe the summer program should come under the auspices of the school rather than the borough council, since the school is obviously more familiar and better experienced at, you know, providing activities for children, both, you know, fun and educational. So there's a couple different ways we can go. We think about, you know, possible transferring it to the school, or if the parents are coming up with a good solution, we're completely open to that. The summer program, as it stands, was run the same way for many, many, many years, and this year it just sort of fell apart because, you know, we lost the participation of the director and her aides. And so the best that Eric could come up with, as I said, was this company. So I know that doesn't help you for this summer. I think generally all these years when parents needed more full-time care, they did go to other towns. They went to Millstone. They went to East Windsor. But this year, right? But I think other years...
We're going to have an open public comment period shortly.
Yeah, and actually, when I say Millstone, I wasn't thinking of their town program, but more if they have a camp there, I think. So a lot of parents put their kids in the camp, which is separate from a, you know, community program. So, yeah, I would say, you know, we didn't know until fairly late that it wouldn't work out this year. And if the parents want to put something together, I can't imagine that the council wouldn't be completely in favor of it, or transferring it, you know, discussing with the school and the school board if it's possible for it to come under their jurisdiction. So if anyone has any questions or glad to. Well, I meant at the table.
Well, I just wanted to thank Lee for sending that letter and offering to have an advisory group. And I think that would be really, really beneficial for the town. I remember one year when the summer camp program fell apart, and Nancy and I we had three daughters, and we were both working full time. It was the summer from hell for us because we had to really scramble. We had to get all kinds of arrangements that just weren't really the most ideal thing for the kids. And when I mentioned this issue to Nancy, she said to me, "Do you remember that summer from hell when we didn't have a summer camp program?" And I said, "Yeah, that was terrible." So I think this is a good step toward getting things fixed and having the stakeholders, the people who it really affects the most, directly involved, so that we're relating to their needs, not our needs or our abilities, but really responding to the people's needs who are going to use the program. So I think it's a great idea. I'm all in favor of it. Thank you, Lee.
Can I just ask, is there any program this summer at all? Did enough people sign up for any week? You're not allowed. Wait.
Okay, you know what? We're now going to open. There not being anything else.
No, actually, I wanted to bring up one more thing under new business.
Okay.
I noticed that there are many cars being parked on the gas station lot, and that is borough property, and I think that that's probably not an ideal situation, because if anything would happen, these are cars from out-of-towners, you know, that I think were visiting Roosevelt residents, and given that that's the borough property, I think it's probably best if we put up some no parking signs, because if anything should happen on that lot, we would be liable. And there were quite a few cars this past weekend, holiday weekend.
Looked like a party.
Yeah.
There were a couple of large parties in town this weekend.
But this particular one parked at the gas
station. Roving groups of youths, I think, is the old
phrase. This particular one, they were all parked at the gas station. So is it possible for us to put up some kind of temporary no parking signs?
Yeah, we can order no parking signs
and
put them on the building.
Or something?
we have some, so.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, let's put them up. There's no, I don't think we have to vote on that. Okay. We now move to, there you go, public comment. Public comment, you folks, please direct your comments to the chair, which happens to be me. And your thoughts, there's a lot of people here today.
What time are we going to open, don't
8:33. There's a fair amount of people here today. If a lot of people want to speak, actually, I'm going to ask you ahead of time. How many people want to speak? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay. So I'm going to ask that you try to keep it under 5 minutes, and then we'll rotate. So if you don't get it in the first 5 minutes, just so everybody gets a chance to have their say.
Jeff, do you want me to sign the consent?
Oh, yes, I did want you to. I'm sorry. I had asked Councilwoman Malkin to thank the individuals who worked on the 4th of July. I was able to pass over that. So.
Okay. Well, you know, as they say, it takes a village, and we had quite a village of people helping us with July 4th. So I wanted to thank Eric Schubiger, our recreation director, who worked very hard, and his three sons, who worked equally as hard at putting the picnic together. I wanted to thank Mike Hamilton for he went shopping for food and all kinds of incidentals and strategizing, trying to make this nice picnic. Joe Trammell and Deirdre Sheehan, who worked very hard on the posters that were around town, those beautiful posters, designing them and printing them. And Jeb Sean and Becky Barrett and Maureen Parrott for spreading the word and making sure everyone knew that we were having a picnic this year. Bruce Reimbold for setting up the mic system so we could have music. Bob Clark for helping to set up, clean up. Not sure if he cooked or not. Then Bob Thorne, who provided us with beautiful music, and there were some people who sang with him and played with him. I wanted to thank Kenny Horowitz from H&H Gas, who very generously donated 2 grills and a refrigerator so that we could have food. The Roosevelt First Aid Squad, which brought the ambulance to march in the parade. The Millstone Fire Department, who also came and marched in our parade. They brought a few different fire engines with them. The Synagogue Sisterhood, who provided a 50-50, and someone was able to win $75. Elliot, my husband, who cooked for quite a few hours, grilled. And all the different people who brought food. Many people brought covered dishes. I know we had a few left over empty dishes at the end of the celebration, so I'm sorry if I hope everyone found their own dishes again. And if I'm forgetting anyone, I'm very sorry, but that's all I could think of right this minute. But we did have a lot of people really pitching in, helping, and doing a great job making it successful. We had beautiful weather, beautiful music, and it was just very, it was really enjoyable.
Yeah, right. You did bring up.
Did I forget somebody?
Well, you did bring up one issue. 50-50. Folks, 50-50 is a game of chance. It is regulated by the state of New Jersey. This is a municipal organized event. If you don't have a license, we can get fined the first time $7,500. We had people licensed last year. I don't know why it didn't happen this year, but if you're going to have a 50-50 next year, you need to get a license.
Well, the Synagogue Sisterhood has a license.
No, they did not.
Nobody came to
the municipality
make.
Issues the license with the approval of the Gaming Commission, and no, they did not.
They might have a registration number.
Well, I don't know. They assured
they
me they had a license.
And applied for an application.
I believe that they are technically incorrect because they had to have gone to the borough.
I'll ask. So. Anyway, and I'm sorry. I have Mary Tullis written right here and never said your name, Mary. I'm sorry.
I'm never sorry to have Mary Tullis written anywhere. Okay, I'm sorry, folks. We are now back to the public comment. Sir, did you wanted to speak?
Sure. My first question is, who's resigning tonight?
Who's
resigning tonight?
First of all, I need your name, please.
Rob Masterson, 62 Pine Drive.
Thank you.
Who's resigning tonight? That's my first question.
Doesn't look like anybody. Okay. Jill, I've been here 4 years. It's time for you to resign. You have tried. I'm sorry to tell you, you have failed. It's time to resign. I don't know if it's your ego that's continuing this failed effort. It's time to give up and hand over the reins to someone else. I apologize for the hard assessment of the town employees. It's time to start over. They all need to go also. You mentioned the need for someone to oversee this process. We need a certified engineer, a full-time certified engineer who's on call like Toby to man this process. That person then can hire his own staff to run the show, the assistants, and so on and so forth.
Excuse me, let the gentleman talk, please.
I propose two solutions to this issue. Both are taking the water completely out of your hands, completely. One is, why can't we not sell this to a private company or whoever knows what they're doing much better than who's currently on staff? You guys produce proposals for the fire, the ambulance, the first aid, excuse me. I want to see proposals, what the cost is if a private firm takes over this process. The other is a radical solution, but I see it being paid off within 10 years. Why can't we just, and the town is going to front this from the bills that we've been paying every 2 months, whatever the hell it is. Install wells in every one of these, in 337 houses. Install private wells with a line from the backyard to the house, and everyone has their own beautiful filtration system that's not overseen by employees that, frankly, are not qualified for this job. Second, I would like to see the qualifications of the staff on hand. I want to see resumes. I want to see titles. I want to see experience. These are the people that are running the health of this town with the water, and we're putting this in the trust of people that, frankly, are not qualified. This budget, this water budget, I want to see it spelt out. Where is this money going and how is it being spent? I'm seeing surpluses. How do we have a surplus with a water system that's going backwards? How is that possible? It needs to be spelt out better. I'm sorry, Joe. You've had your chance. It's time to move on. Resign tonight, please.
Thank you. There were other hands that were raised.
I've got to go because my sons are with a babysitter, so...
Please start with name and address. Sorry.
Lee Domhofsky, 22 Pine Drive. I just want to say thank you for hearing our concerns about camp. Anybody who wants to know what happened, any of us parents will be happy to tell you. You know, the specific issues. We had to sign up week to week, and all we received in terms of information was the marketing flyer for U.S. Sports Institute. I don't know why that wasn't sufficient information, but we started getting calls that it was canceled so late that we're scrambling. And by the way, I have hired a professional nanny. My desire is for my children to be able to play with other children because we received from the school, thank you that we receive it that way, it's not a complaint, that we were going to have some camp opportunities. So that's the issue. And we're more than happy to help, and thank you for being willing to hear our concerns. I look forward to working with you, as do other people, so that we can get this done.
Can I just ask you when you did hear? Because I'd like to know. I don't know.
Well, so we heard, I'm trying to think... Forgive me, okay? You know, I'm recently widowed, and
I
have two children. So in terms of dates, I heard, we were supposed to start today. I got a call Thursday that our emergency attempts to rescue the thing were not sufficient because the new information that we got was about this age group mixing. Prior to that, it was a question of what were the enrollment numbers, period, and we didn't know that there was some enrollment number. Okay, I don't know whether Eric knew, but certainly none of us knew. And most of what us parents do, you know, we don't come to meetings because we have to get babysitters, right? So most of what we do is we talk to each other. And if none of us knew, we weren't able to solve it. So now we've figured out, okay, we need to participate more, and we're happy to do that.
Did your children go last year?
Yes. Last year they had a full-time stay-at-home parent.
Yeah, last year was the only year they had full-time.
Yeah. No. What I said is last year, my family was in a different situation. Okay. Aftercare was a great option last year, but it was the first year that was there. And there are new people moving into town all the time. And where do they get information? From other parents at the school. Until they figure things out. You know, so we're happy to talk amongst ourselves and figure out, you know, what do you need? What do you want? What can we do? What is the budget we have to work in? What is that number? We've got an incredible pool of talent that we're more than willing to donate to help solve this problem.
Yeah, I would like to try to arrange something, you know, for next spring for you to start meeting with Eric.
We think we need it in the fall because if it's going to fall apart, we need to get our kids signed up starting in February. Because the only camps that are open now are the ones that are $8,000 a child. I have two.
Yeah. Okay, that's good to know.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Jeb Sean, 18 Tomorrow Drive. I have a hodgepodge of comments from all the different reports, so we'll see what I can do in 5 minutes. The first thing that occurred to me was the discussion about the roof repair, and I am really in favor of it going out to bid for all the work that has to be done, because I realize that if you break it up into separate projects, then you can avoid whatever obligations occur when you hit the price ceiling. But I don't really think that's what's important to the community. What's important to the community is how much is going to be spent to get the whole thing done right. And we talked about the roof, we talked about the gutters, but Mr. Mayor, you mentioned the soffits, and soffits are a very complicated element in Roosevelt roofing and have to be considered as part of the whole plan. And I was parked by the borough recently and looked at those gutters, and no wonder the roof is a mess because the gutters are overflowing with moss and all kinds of debris. So not only do I think we should go out to bid for a completely comprehensive repair of the situation, but definitely keep in mind how it's going to be properly maintained after it's fixed. So, on to the next thing. In terms of the administrative committee, at some point I heard that job descriptions were being written. And we have a crying need for job descriptions, and that is relevant also in terms of the things that Joe Trammell was talking about, in terms of proper maintenance of the water and sewer and everything else. If we don't have job descriptions, how can we, even if there is someone who is going to provide the oversight, how do they do it? We need that. The administration committee really needs to get moving on that. And in general, we need to think about how the whole borough operation runs and who does what and who checks that it's done. And I've often wondered what Toby does in terms of the breakdowns that we've had. I know nothing about these operations, so I'm not claiming that I do, but I would hope that someone in his position would regularly check all the equipment before it breaks. For instance, I remember hearing about a previous almost disaster at the sewer plant where there was a power failure and the backup generator failed. And that apparently could very likely be attributed to poor maintenance. And so when the backup generator failed and the backup batteries kicked in, they failed too because they hadn't been regularly checked and kept in good condition. So this ties all in with job descriptions, oversight. I don't think that this should cost us more money as a borough. I think it should save us money if we can avoid catastrophes. Let's see where my next question mark is. And I did notice a little bit of publicity about the wipes problem, but I think since that auger can't really deal with those things, that this problem is going to occur over and over again. And I think that the publicity needs to be much more evident and ongoing and loud and adamant, and people need to understand that it's costing, you know, everybody's concerned about operation costs, and the use of those things is costing us all a lot of money. So maybe I got through my list.
I would just like to, I'm not going to respond in full, but just a couple of things. Those soffits that I was referring to, this is not a standard, the Borough Hall is not built like a standard Roosevelt, so you don't have that whole concrete thing falling down, but it is wood and it is falling down. You just referenced the difficulty, and I'm thinking about my own house with it. Okay. Okay, job descriptions I think you guys started on. I would point out that before we pile on to Toby, that we do have a list of things that need to be maintained. And it gets mentioned at every meeting. The Imhoff tanks need to be fixed. The rotors need to be fixed. We just don't have the money or the authorization. So,
but does he have a schedule of checking, of preventative maintenance? Shouldn't that be part of his job?
Can I respond to two things? First of all, on the generator issue, we have a maintenance contract with a separate firm, not Toby. That maintenance contract is something that we renew on a yearly basis. After the last debacle on that maintenance contract, we have determined that we need to go out for bid and find another maintenance contractor, because that contractor was obviously not keeping the generators in shape for them to kick on. In terms of the wipes, every single bill that you get, there's a printed thing on it, don't flush wipes, it costs the borough money. And we did put out publicity. I've written articles for the Roosevelt Borough Bulletin, and people who see me walking on the street say, "Jill, I don't use wipes." It seems that I have made a large stink about the wipes, but I'm perfectly happy to make an even greater stink about the wipes, because those wipes should never be flushed.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
Ever.
Yeah, no.
Ever.
Yeah.
If you have ideas about how to better get out the word, I mean, we're glad to hear about them, because
we
don't want to hear Jill talk about the wipes anymore.
Well, don't you think we should also, for instance, maybe blast something across the new bulletin board? I know you've done a lot.
How about the post office door?
I know you've done a lot. You just need to do more, and it needs to be constant. I think maybe it's just too discreet or something.
Yeah, reaching people in town is always an issue, so that's what I'm saying. If you have ideas of how we can better reach them and remind them, that'd be great.
Well, there are people in town who know a whole lot more about publicity and all that than I do. I just think...
Thank you.
I think maybe when someone... You know how they do say they're flushable? So I think possibly people say, "Oh, she's not talking about these are flushable."
I've actually said in the thing, flushable does not mean flushable.
I
don't know how to get it across. I used your wording on the last thing that we sent out. If anybody has an idea, I'm open to it.
Okay. We're still in the public portion. Please raise your hand if you want to speak. I'm not seeing your hand raised. Okay, your name and address, please.
Dan Leibowitz, 78 Pine Drive. I'm wondering if there's a way to let people know the pH levels over the past year. Is this documented when it's actually taken?
Oh, yeah, there's a log.
I'm sorry?
There's a log. They measure all kinds of chemicals in the water. There's a log. That's how I knew exactly what the level was at 8:30 yesterday morning.
Okay, so is this something that is open to the public?
Generally, no, but you can certainly get it under OPRA. I think somebody already requested it. But you don't want all the logs.
Well, so let me tell my concern.
All right, let me put it to you this way. The last person who asked for the log was advised that it was going to cost $477 to copy them. So you're welcome to do that. But if there's particular information you want that can be gotten more efficiently or that you
might I have, just ask, there's a book that Toby uses that he logs on a daily basis all of this stuff?
Mm-hmm. There's lots of books where they
log. Well, the pH level especially.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's I don't know there's an individual book for pH. So
There are daily log books, and perhaps we could make them available so that you could look through them and determine what you might like a copy of at some point.
You can also take a picture of it, Dan.
Okay, thank you. So
makes it easy.
We have previously offered to do tours of the water plant, and I only had, I think, three people who took me up on that offer, but we can certainly do that again. And you can view the logbooks while you're there, and you can get an overview of the process.
Let me explain why. Because one thing we haven't talked about is health. Hmm? And so I don't know anything about water. I guess I should have done more research before I came here. Before I came, I briefly looked up what it can do, say, to skin and things like that. And the first thing that popped up was eczema. So I have I have eczema. Okay. So I have a one-year-old daughter.
I didn't see that one.
It's there. And so I have a one-year-old daughter, and she's had eczema very bad since she was born. Never even a question, never even a concern. What's a concern now? So now I, as her father, have to figure out what do I have to do, because this may be because of the water here, which is obviously unacceptable for the amount of money that we pay, that now I have to worry about my daughter's skin growing up. So I, number one, want to see what the pH levels are. Number two, now I have to bring it to her doctor to see, is this a possibility? And then see what my next actions are. So that's why I'm asking if I can look at this.
You can certainly look at it. What you had asked for was, do we keep records of, and can you get copies? And my
I never asked for copies. I asked if we could look at
certainly
it.
You can certainly have access to that information. It's not secret. It's not private.
Okay.
You can certainly have the information. Generally, I think it's set by state DEP regulation. The range is between 7 and 8.5. And then obviously a couple of times it's gone substantially higher than that.
Mm-hmm.
The books are there. I think we'd have to arrange for you to come down and look at them just at a convenient time. There's no problem with that at all.
And
you can write it down.
So is there any responsibility from whoever, and I don't know whoever, when someone does get sick, when there's obviously a gap, right? So someone notices that there's a problem, but there's a gap. So that means that people have drank, people have brushed their teeth, like we all did last night.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a responsibility, or is it just that now we are stuck with medical bills? My mother has a skin problem that started, I guess it was right after the last time, thought she had Lyme's or something. So now, is that a possibility? Yes. And now these are things that we're understanding. So my question is there any responsibility from anyone when there are health concerns?
Well, I think that the town complies with the DEP notice requirements, et cetera. As soon as we find out about it, we send out a reverse 911. That could be 3:00 in the morning. We send it out anyway. As I said in the beginning of the meeting, I know it can annoy people, but that's why we do it. We can't do anything until we know that it's happening, and that usually happens because somebody in town says, my water is brown. Historically, we had lots of brown water, but for different reasons. And that's how we know. And as soon as we know, we check, we go on with the 911, and we go on with the Facebook page.
I appreciate that, but that's not my answer.
If you're asking what the legal liability is, the answer is I can't answer that for you.
Dan, can I say that I will try to find what logs are available for the pH, and
thank
I'll
you.
Go, and if you want to come with me, we'll come and we'll shoot the logs, and we'll have that
have
available
logs,
to you.
Thank you.
Okay, we've already obtained those logs because they were requested, so he doesn't have to go to the water plant. We've got them at the Borough Hall for him. They were previously requested, so it'll just save you all the trouble.
All right, well, that was his question. Are there logs, and are they accessible? And
And I said he can look at them anytime
he
wants.
He said he'd have to do the OPRA, but... Does he have to do that, or can he just come down to town hall and look at them?
You should do it. Okay, you should do an OPRA.
For the past year.
All right, so we'll get you an OPRA form. You can fill it out, then they can provide it, and you can come down and look at it.
Okay. Thank you.
Barry?
Okay. Mary Tullis, 21 Lake Drive. I would like to speak in support of Councilwoman Lapote. I have been to many council meetings over the years, and I don't know of anybody who's been the chair of the Utilities Commission who has understood completely how our system works, the chemistry of it, the equipment of it, and it's many times that I have seen her out there when something goes wrong. She's at the end of Lake Drive when we had some kind of, I don't know what was going wrong that time. I think the going down into the sewer system. And I wouldn't have any expectation that if our system was sold to an outside company that things would be better. American Water and those other companies, they report to their stockholders. They are not one of us sitting here drinking our water and, you know, worrying about how things work. I'm pretty sure we couldn't get somebody from a company to show up and try to explain things to us the way we can right now. My family lives in Lambertville. They have an outside company that has their water system. The water is terrible. They can't drink it. They cannot get anybody to attend their council meetings to talk about the problems. So we've been having some problems lately because of the age of our system. I mean, I think has been discussed tonight, we don't have a lot of money to spend on maintenance. If we did, things, you know, could be working better. But we have an aging system. We have to prioritize what we're doing, and I think we're doing the best that can be done. So I want to thank you, Jill, for what you've done.
Thank you. Mr. Grunwald? I'll just go front to back.
Eitan Grunwald, 5 Eleanor Lane. There isn't a single person on the borough council or in the position of mayor that gets paid. Everyone who is volunteering has no greater obligation to perform public service or to step forward and volunteer for public service than anyone else in the community. No, none of you deserves to be attacked. What you do deserve.
Excuse me, he's speaking.
What you do deserve.
Excuse me, sir. He is speaking.
What you do deserve is our respect and appreciation. There should be accountability, but there also needs to be support and involvement. And Jill, I don't think it's time for you to go. I think it's time for you to receive that support.
Excuse me. You have the right to come back and speak again. Please, we're going through the list. Thank you.
Jacob Barrett, 10 Homestead. My question is, when was it known, first known, that the pH levels were too high? What time?
Are you talking about Sunday?
Yes.
It was a call at about 9:45 p.m. I know because I'd just taken my first sip of a bourbon at American Bar and Grill.
Okay.
Got back in the car, came back here, went immediately to the water plant. When I got there, Kelly was there. She was running her fourth test on the pH. That was when we discovered it was high. We checked the logs. The last time the log had come in, it was 8:30, and that was a very low pH. And then later had a conversation with Mr. Vassour about the events of the day. But those are the timelines that we have.
So 10 o'clock, roughly.
Yeah.
How long does it normally take for this reverse 911? I didn't get a call until 1 o'clock in the morning saying that the water was unsafe to drink. I'd been drinking water all day. Who knows when the problem actually started? We don't know when it actually started, right?
No.
We just realized it at 10 o'clock.
That's right.
So we don't know when it actually was an issue.
Okay. At 10 o'clock, we realized we got a call about 9:45, whatever, about the brown water. Okay. The process was, I mean, usually you don't check for pH for brown water in Roosevelt. You know, you just go and you open the hydrants. So when we got a test at the plant that said it was high, we then went out to the hydrants, drained some, tested them out there. To be perfectly honest, because we didn't know about the events during the day, the engineers were saying, well, this is not possible. We've unplugged everything. Everything's turned off. It's not possible to be that particular item. So we didn't identify what the actual problem was, probably for another hour and a half, 2 hours, whenever, at which point we put out the reverse 911.
So,
but also remember, we're starting at 11 o'clock at 10 o'clock on a Sunday night.
Sure.
So, you know, we're sort of hesitant to put out a 911, but...
Well, if the water's unsafe, why would...
We just don't want to wake people up, but you do it anyway.
I'm just wondering why it took 3 hours to get the call. If we knew at 10 o'clock, why did it take 3 hours to... Why was it 1 o'clock in the morning that I was being notified?
Because that was the first time we had identified that that was the problem and that it wasn't the gauge that was wrong.
Okay, and I'm not arguing, but if the pH is high, you can see it right there at 10 o'clock, why wouldn't the first step be to notify people?
Because the pH can be at different levels throughout the system, and if it had just been at the water plant, sometimes it gets solved by just opening up those hydrants and gets solved quickly, right? Mm-hmm. Sometimes it does not, or it takes longer to figure out exactly what's going on.
Right.
And that was the...
Because as the previous gentleman stated, I'm new to town, fairly, and I'm starting to become concerned about the health issues here. And Jill had spoken about some sort of early notification system that could be put on a valve or something like that. I don't know what needs to be gone through to get that done, but that certainly seems like it'd be something we should be looking into, especially since this seems to be something that is becoming an unfortunate fact of life for us here in Rosenthal. And the... I guess that's it. But the reverse 911, that was troublesome to me that it was 3 hours. I understand what you're telling me here now today.
Well,
it's troublesome to me that it was...
Let's be honest about this, okay?
Yeah.
I'm the mayor. I have a past history of being a lawyer. I've run various companies. I've never been a water sewer person, okay? So we go out, we test it, we reach out to Toby, we reach out to Joe. They say, not they, Joe, the engineer says, you know, this can't be happening. I mean, it doesn't... There's no way this can happen, so you must be reading something wrong, whatever. We go out, we test, we call him back. You know, he's on his way. Mm-hmm. I don't claim to be the expert on pH, on water systems, on whatever. I claim to be the person who was there second.
Sure.
And just started running. So
I would just think, maybe, given our history...
By the time
we got
everybody in line and they said, yeah, right, it really is a pH problem.
We should err on the side of caution, I guess. Given our history.
Can I make a comment here also? I believe at some point in time the council passed an ordinance that we could purchase a piece that would automatically check.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true?
Correct.
Yeah.
So... Since we passed the ordinance, we should follow through on it.
And you're right. Right.
Especially since, as you were saying earlier, we're not entirely sure we have the root cause of this issue.
We don't know exactly.
So
we think we know what the problem is.
We think we fixed it, but we're not sure.
Yeah. Okay.
But we should know better.
But the question he asked me was, why did it take so long? And my answer is,
well,
to some extent, my fault. I didn't know what the hell was going on.
But you are... 3 hours is a long time. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Jake.
Ken LeComp to Eleanor Lane. Yeah, I'm going to talk loud so that you guys can hear me. So I'll start with the easy one. So the camp thing got us too. And just to clarify kind of some of the problems, one of the big ones was, of course, our kids have been in the camp for the last few years, and when they moved the camp to an outside company, that company had deadlines that were never communicated to the parents. So there were a lot of parents that just assumed it was going to happen and figured, oh, well, we'll wait until, you know, the 11th hour like parents usually do. And then, you know, my wife was stuck marshaling a lot of those parents to try to get them to call, and we thought we had rescued it. And then that's what Lee was talking about, how the ball moved on us, or I should say the goal line moved on us. And they said, well, no, you've got enough people now, but they're in all these scattered age ranges, and they can't play each other, they can't scrimmage, and that's the whole point of the camp. So I think part of the problem is that, and it could easily be solved by a committee, would just be to have programs that are maybe more parent-driven and more appropriate. One other possibility is somebody had said something about people attending Millstones Camp in years past, and that's true. And unfortunately, after going all the way up through all of the layers of Millstones bureaucracy, I found out that what actually happened is, in years past, they didn't have enough kids to satisfy their camp, so they basically took anybody willing to cut a check. Now they have more people, and they have a commissioner for their education or their recreation department that's just not interested in having us. So one possible solution, albeit maybe not the best one, would be a shared services agreement. If we know we're going to have trouble staffing the camp, and it, let's just say the first option of having the school take it over falls through, it might be relatively easy to reach out to Millstone and get a shared services agreement, especially with the fact that it's kind of cost recovery. Obviously, we have to pay.
We have the Roosevelt Millstone Little League. Would that be a good place to start?
What was the question?
It wasn't a question. There is a Roosevelt Millstone Little League. If you make a right at Ely's Corner...
They actually told us all about that. So they basically said different programs are different, and the camp is a separate thing that the commissioner has ruled they don't want outside people in.
All right, worth a shot.
Yeah. All right, so that's camp. The wipes in the sewage treatment plant, I think the marketing worked fairly well. A lot of people, myself included, were like, whoa, that's crazy. All right, no more wipes in the toilet. But I think a picture is worth 1,000 words here. Maybe we should make this thing into a poster to put on the bulletin board. People are going to be grossed out by it possibly, but just the same, it might send the right message. The third thing is of course, about the water situation. My question is a little more technical in nature. So, I know Roberts Engineering got an award for reworking the water treatment plant in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Was this design part of that reworking? Because if that's the case, that's pretty troubling. I'm not suggesting that it was. I'm just curious if it was. And if it wasn't, then I'm sorry, but if somebody's going to have an engineering firm come in and rework a water treatment plant, one might think that they would go through insanity checks, such a simple thing as a chemical tank siphoning when a chemical dosing pump malfunctions, which is not uncommon. It's a maintenance item. It fails open, bad in this case, right, because of the way they work. So, and I'm baffled by the possibility of putting an anti-siphon valve in because I know how they work, and I can't see how it could possibly work. The physics of it don't work in this particular situation. So the only way this thing could be fixed would either be with rerouting plumbing or having a valve that is solenoid operated so that it knows if the pump's not running, the valve's not open. And if the valve's not open, no chemical moves. And that should obviously be a fail-closed valve since you want the fail to be safe. So I'm kind of baffled by it, and I guess my question would be, if we have Roberts Engineering on retainer, why the hell haven't we asked them to come in and look at the water treatment plant and say, hey, anything that could be life-threatening here, and I don't mean life-threatening as in causing death, I mean causing ill health, it's astonishing to me that this would be, they got an award for the work they did in the water treatment plant. So color me baffled how you get an award for something like that without having dotted I's and crossed T's. In this situation.
They were relieved as our utilities engineers about a year and a half ago.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm.
And we brought in R3M, but we've had an ongoing discussion. But yes, you're right, particular review should take place.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
We should probably put that on
Thank
there.
Thank you.
Also, Ken, you're absolutely right about a solenoid operated thing. The circuitry is already there. There would just have to be the solenoid put into the line. So I'll talk to George.
And I have no idea what you're talking about, so I'll take your word for it.
We know.
Mr. Connors?
First, I want to talk to Mark Connors from Roosevelt First Aid Squad. I'm asking the council, the first
23
aid squad.
Rochdale.
33, I said. We're having a little bit of trouble in the fact of finding houses.
What?
Everybody has...
Finding
houses. People have very decorative little house numbers. They put them on rocks. They stick them here. They stick them there. You can't see them at night when you need them. It's that simple. So we're asking if the council could put out to the town, please put big reflective letters up, numbers up. Make it easier for state police, make it easier for first aid squad, make it easier for fire company. If you have it on a rock at the end of your driveway, it's really nice. It's very pretty. And then you park your car in front of it. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
All right. So please, we're asking for help. We've had a couple calls where we really had a little bit of trouble trying to figure out exactly which house it was. Fortunately, time wasn't a major factor on those calls. It could have been. And that's what we're afraid of.
Okay.
Yes, sometimes we're very fortunate when we get dispatched. We get a name and stuff of whose house it is, and then we say, oh, that's this house, or that's that house. But a lot of times we don't. A lot of times we get a number and a street. And the state police don't know who Michael Tickton is, and that's his house. So please, if the council can do anything to help spread the word, we'd appreciate it. It's just something we really need.
Mr. Okay? Connors, do you have examples, say, from a magazine or a catalog that we could include and say, you know, it should look like this, not like that, it should be here, not there, or a manual or something?
Can I say something here?
Size requirement.
There is, in the code of Roosevelt, there is a size requirement, 4 inches tall, and somewhere near the front door, it is in the code book. I read
right,
it before
but
I moved
not
into
working.
This town.
But it's not a reality.
Okay,
right.
So it's
we have a lot of artistic people in town who make these beautiful things.
Well, the countywide
everything is grown over.
The countywide 911 system has designated size requirements, like what size your number should be. So if you, I guess, go on their website.
Well, what we're really looking for is we're not trying to tell people exactly what they have to do. We'd like them for it to be at least 6 inches and reflective. Is it going to happen? Probably not. But when you paint a dark black number on a brown wall, it's kind of tough to see.
Maybe we could put something
in
the...
If you go home tonight, and if everybody goes home tonight, look at your house as though you didn't know exactly where to... In the dark, when you go home, say, oh, I can't see that. Or I can see that, and that's great. But I'm going to say probably 99% of people who walk out of this room tonight, if they're honest, they're going to say, oh, they wouldn't find me. Okay, it's a very simple thing. People put them under lights. That's great, but the light's turned off. When you call for an ambulance or a fire truck or a police car, turn a light on. So we're just asking for a little bit of help as far as being able to get there faster. It's for your safety, not for ours at that point. Okay. Second thing is the equipment that we asked for from the fire company. Is there a status on that? Coats,
no, I have to get that list and get it over to the council. I'll do that.
Okay.
My bad. Sorry.
That's good. Now I want to speak as Mark Hunter's 23 North Rysdale resident. It's very easy to yell and scream and dislike the way people are doing it. And Jill, I have a lot of respect for you, and I'm very happy with the job you're doing. I don't think that you not doing your job. I think it's the people of this town not listening. When you showed them a picture of a sewer pipe that's broken and water's flowing in there faster than you can with a fire line, and if the tanks are full of water instead of sludge, and they don't want to do anything about it, doesn't really matter what you say or what you don't say. You put a video up one night of the pipes and how bad they were, and there's one pipe that's held together with a strap. And all everybody says is, oh, gee, it's lasted this long. The reality of it is, if the town people don't get behind it and don't vote for it and don't approve it, you can't go out and do it, and nobody's going to want to buy this system. Because it's not a profit maker. They want to buy something that's working, functioning, making them money. Not something they got to drop millions of dollars into. Because they have to report to their stockholders. Right? I applaud you for the work you've done. I know that it's very easy to yell and scream, oh, you've taken all this time and haven't done it. I don't know how, with all you've said, people haven't woke up and said, oh, we better do something now.
Thank you. Do you want to speak again, sir?
Sure.
Debbie Connors, 23 North Rochdale. Jill, could you please give us your background? Because I'm sure there's some people in the room that are not familiar with your background and your knowledge. As far as I'm concerned, knowing your background and your knowledge,
We're very fortunate to have you because there's not another person in this town that has that background, has that knowledge, and the experience. Unfortunately, because of politics or whatever, your hands are tied. You're doing everything you can, but as Mr. Connors had said, if the town people do not get behind you and support you with voting for the issue and getting it repaired and listening to what is being said, you can't do anything. Therefore, your hands are tied. But if you could please give us your background once again, if that would be possible.
Do you want to answer that question?
Sure, I'll talk about it.
Thank you.
I worked for the Department of Environmental Protection for 27 years. I was the Director of Water Monitoring and Standards for the last 3 years of that time. Previously, I had headed up a number of other environmental programs. I was the Director of the Division of Environmental Safety and Health. I currently work for Rutgers University. I'm teaching students about sustainability. And sustainability involves three things. It involves the environment, involves economics. People have to have enough money to be able to pay for systems. And it involves social systems, where people have to feel valued and part of a peer group. And I felt that Roosevelt had all of these things going for it. We heard earlier about the July 4th celebration. It was an opportunity for people to come together. I know that affording that $372 every 2 months is difficult for people, and we would very much like to change that and bring those costs down. And we do not want to hurt our environment, and we do not want to release raw sewage to a stream. And so there are a lot of checks and balances here. The system needs serious work. I'm not averse to considering selling the system if it makes sense for the town, if it makes dollars and cents for the town. But I think that Mary and others have had some issues that they brought to the forefront, which is that if you sell the system, you are basically giving it to a private entity which has stockholders that they report to. And so in many cases where systems have been sold, privatized, what happens is that the company runs the water and sewer system, but then charges back to all of the ratepayers what it costs to repair it, and you don't have as much input into, well, you can't really turn down their bond issues, they own it. So they'll just charge you. And that's the concern that Mary brings up every time. There are no easy answers to this water and sewer system. I wish that there was, I think I mentioned it once, a fecal fairy that would just be like the tooth fairy and make it all go away. But there isn't anything like that. So the only thing that's going to work is a concerted effort to really try to fix the system. I'll stop.
Thank you.
I just want to say thank you for that. And like I said, there is nobody in town that has stepped forward with your experience and knowledge and the time that you've donated to be able to help with this system. Yes, there's going to be pros and cons to selling the system, and that is something that has to be looked at very carefully as to whether it's going to be a feasible idea, because in the long run, it may wind up costing us more. But then again, it could cost us less. But we do lose the control, which is something this town cherishes on a lot of things. Not only water and sewer, but on a lot of other things. And yes, as much as that is a great thing to have, sometimes we on certain things have to bring in other companies because of the fact of their size and the money that they have behind them to be able to do it. And I'm not just saying that about the water and sewer. It relates to a lot of other things. But again, I do want to say thank you because there isn't anybody else here in town that has that can do it. And yes, I have seen you at all hours of the night and days and weekends, and you are trying. But you can only do so much when the residents tie your hands with a no vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'd like to respond with one other issue, and that is that I will take your advice under advisement, sir, about resigning. If I have lost effectiveness, perhaps that's the best path, and I'll consider it seriously. Thank you for bringing it up.
There is a gentleman I've just called on in the back. You did say you wanted to be last, so just give me a... you are not the gentleman.
Kevin Ballin, 35 Farm Lane. I have a couple issues here. I moved to this town 22 years ago. I moved to this town because this town is a very special town, right? Everybody waves. We respect each other. And it was always a town where you can pretty much be who you want to be. And as long as you're not affecting anybody else, people kind of live and let live. Very artist community, you know, very good town. I've raised children. I have a son that's buried in a cemetery. I love this town. Nobody's perfect, right? We all have our issues, every single one of us. We're human. But lately, there's been some really issues going on with a zoning officer and harassment and singling out issues. I spent the day in jail. I got fined $1,500 for a storage facility, a tent, a green tent that was in my backyard. Okay? Next to the house, I've counted 20 tents in town lately. 20, over 20. Okay? I got tickets the other day, again, for debris. Now, I looked up the Webster Dictionary on debris. And it broke down fragment rock, broke down wood, broke down garbage. Debris is not a weed whacker that's being worked on, or a lawnmower, or a tractor. I lost thousands of dollars worth of equipment. I own personal equipment. I entertain. I have a pool in the back. Wooden stuff, everything, because the tent had to come down. Nobody else in town, down. All the other tents are up in town, but my tent had to come down. I had the zoning guy on a Sunday sneaking in my yard. Now, our tax are paying for a zoning guy to come in our yard, Joe McGrath, on a Sunday. And again today, taking pictures on a Monday. I thought he was supposed to be there on Tuesday. So we have days and days of this guy sneaking around with cameras, taking pictures, harassing me, saying in court, oh, it's a fine day, Mr. Ballin, fine, you're going to pay fines today. Threatening to put me in jail for a storage facility in my yard, which there's tons of them. I'm not going to put out names. I'm not going to tell people who has them. That's not the way I roll. But I'm being harassed, and I don't appreciate it. Now, I got a list of stuff that I'm allowed to have in my yard and I'm not allowed to have, okay? I'm not allowed to have a propane tank, a grill that I'm working on, a $1,500 grill that I'm working on, because it's inoperable, in my backyard, not the front yard. I'm not allowed to have a jet ski that I'm working on in my backyard. I'm not allowed to have chains, a commercial chain, okay? Commercial wiring. What's the definition of commercial wiring, okay? I have 200 amp service. It's 10-4. It's commercial wiring, okay? But I'm not allowed to have commercial wiring. I'm not allowed to have extension cords. I'm not allowed to have fish tanks in my backyard. My son has bearded dragons, but I can't have fish tanks in my backyard. This guy, if I showed you all this list right now, you'd be astonished of what we are allowed to have and what we're not allowed to have in our backyard or even in my garage. Okay? Forget the front yard. I can appreciate the fact that, yeah, my front yard gets cluttered sometimes, but it gets cluttered because I had to stuff everything on a 28-foot tent in my garage. in my back deck, in my house. I can't even move my garage right now because I'm not allowed to have a tent. But there's 25 other tents in town. Okay, I've been singled out, and it's beyond me that this is still happening. Today, he pulls up in front of my house. I'm pressure washing. And he's taking pictures. On a day when he was going to a funeral, it was a respectful day for someone we lost dearly in town. And I'm getting, and I'm pressure washing, and he's, I said, Joe, will you please move? He's sitting there, it's harassment. And I don't want to toss this town any more money than we've already sent. Okay, but I swear.
Please speak to the
chair. I'm going to end up having to do something that's, because this is such harassment. My son, I go to move something out of the garage, he has panic attacks because he thinks I'm going to go to jail. When this all happened, it was December 19th. The judge told me 30 days, he was going to put me in jail for 30 days around Christmas time if I didn't have everything on this list out of my yard. That's a violation of our rights, our civil rights to have what I want in my backyard. As long as it's not affecting anybody else, I just don't get it. Okay? And this guy, I don't know who authorizes him on a Sunday, but I've been told he was told to come in Sundays because everybody's home. Sunday's God's day. We're not here to be harassed. Okay? If my neighbor has a problem, my neighbor comes up to me and says, listen, if I have a problem with somebody, I say something. We fix it. Okay? That's the way this town was always built. This is the way we always respect each other in this town for that. And I want this guy to stop harassing me, and I think he should stop harassing a lot of other people in town because if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. If I can't have a tent, then nobody has tents.
Thank you. Yes, Mr. Cragen.
Robert Cragen, 7 School Lane, and yes, Jeff, with regards to you, sir, I am not the gentleman.
I'm sorry?
Can you hear me okay?
No.
No.
Okay. Can you turn up the sound, please?
No, the sound is fine. We can't understand what you're saying.
I'm sorry.
You are not
the gentleman. What I'm suggesting is that the town is falling apart, that the water and sewer system are a symptom of a far deeper problem of people not caring for each other, and that it's institutional and it comes from the top. That may sound pretty profound, but I think that everybody has to step up to this and face it. We have issues in town that need to be looked at that aren't being looked at. Joe McGrath, our building inspector, is a symptom, again, of what's called selective enforcement. Again, I believe, coming from the top, that someone has to step up to and be responsible for. It's wrong. I believe it's actually illegal, and it should be brought to the attention of higher authorities. It's what's called color of law as a doctrine of harassment to the town. Using the cover of having an official position, such a person as Joe McGrath appears to be going beyond what is legally his mandate and using what's called selective enforcement to make trouble for individuals. I've also had him do this to me personally. The selective enforcement issue is something that has to be addressed by Mr. Tickton and rewriting perhaps the town bylaws. The main issue is, for example, when I went around with a little movie counter, you know, the counters they use at the movie theaters to count the people going in, I counted one Sunday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning, I counted 82 cars on the street. That is a breach of our town ordinances. I went around and I counted that there are 40 houses, more than 40 houses, that don't have the 4-inch letters, some of which I believe are even town officials. In addition, I counted trailers in driveways. There are over 20 trailers in driveways. I was given a summons for having an RV on the street. After 6 visits to the Millstone Court and substantial personal hassle and harassment and expense, I found that, in fact, that was thrown out without due cause, without any kind of probable cause aspect, even though Mr. Mayor Jeff himself showed up on the night of my final hearing to try to force things. He couldn't, because the truth was I was innocent, and I was completely innocent. Thank you. I worked for the State Department for 13 years. I served in 56 countries overseas. I risked my life for us. I did that proudly. I do it again in an instant. I'm thinking of even going back to work at 71 because my country needs me. That's the facts. I think we can do a better job overseas with security. I was a security engineer, electrical engineer for the U.S. government. I had a top secret TSSCI clearance. You don't get that without working hard, without deserving it, without being checked three times thoroughly by the FBI. What I'm telling you tonight is from the heart, and it's the truth. If anyone wants to join me and stand up against Jeff and his cronies, please, now is the time. Now, Mr. Attorney, please. I have some questions for you specifically.
This is the public portion. You can make whatever comments you want.
They're
not providing legal advice.
No one's asking you. I'm asking a question of law, sir.
Please address your questions to the chair.
Okay, Mr. Chair. Mm-hmm. I've been told that I have to pay over $400 to obtain an OFRA request for the documents relating to the incidents at the water sewer plant. I believe that the OFRA law states that it's 5 cents a page, not $400, to have a book taken apart by a professional and reassembled. Is there any reason or any point of law why I can't do that myself at 5 cents a page and stand there at the photocopy?
Yes, you cannot remove those documents from the Borough Hall. I believe you have the opportunity to come down and examine them. They will be more than glad to have them copied, and they were being polite enough to advise you in advance that it was going to be substantial because the documents that you have asked for are very substantial. It's going to cost $477 to have them.
Is that a nickel a page, or is that for a professional to take them apart and bind them up at a profitable rate?
However it is that the documents have to be accessed in order to be copied.
No, sir, I don't believe that's true. It's a point of law. I'm asking our lawyer to comment.
I know who you're asking. I'm answering your question. You filed an open request, okay? The cost of doing the copying was substantial. They advised you, I believe they also advised you, that you could come down and look at the book. You don't have to have the whole book copied. You could tell them, I want less than, or you could get the information out of it. So it's the cost of duplicating it.
So why can't I duplicate it myself at 5 cents a page instead of paying $400 to have a professional do it?
Because you have to disassemble the book.
No, you
don't. Disassemble the book, you have to
put
it back.
No, sir, that's your claim, not my claim.
Okay, I'm not claiming anything. I answered your question.
No,
do
sir,
you have? Yeah, the answer is.
Does anybody here think the answer to my question?
Excuse me, Mr. Cragen.
Yes, sir.
That's the price of copying the book. There may
no.
be other ways to copy.
Oprah has a law that says 5 cents a page. Read it.
It also says that you can have pass if there's an exceptional circumstance, you can pass on the cost.
Where's the problem of my standing there at a copying machine at 5 cents a page and copying it? Or somebody else from your own people
You filed an OPA request, which is a request for the borough to provide you with information. It is not a request to come in and go through our records, et cetera. They are more than willing to provide the information you've requested. They're just giving you the option, and they're saying, hey, this is going to cost something. Do you still want to do this?
And I'm saying there's a fine legal point that you should be able to provide that at 5 cents a page. If you can't, then that has to be adjudicated legally.
Okay, adjudicate it legally.
Last question, please.
Yes.
Again, for our lawyer, I was told that I cannot obtain a copy of the emails that Toby sent to Jill because they're protected by lawyer-client privilege, even though Jill read the email that I want in public. What's going on? And that's to our lawyer I'm asking the question. Are they protected by lawyer-client privilege?
I ran into him in the parking lot, and I told him that we could give that one email because she read it in public.
Okay.
But we haven't been in Borough Hall due to all the issues.
Well, apparently you were advised that the single email to which you are referring was available because it was read in public, but since the return date on your OPA request was, I think, 7 days or 8 days ago. Since then, we've had to close the Borough Hall. As soon as we reopen it, you can deliver it to you.
Oh, thank you, sir. And my last question is, when will the Borough Hall be reopened? I'd heard that they had found some vermin or some termites or some ants or some fleas maybe in the
fleas.
Borough Hall?
Yes.
Fleas. When was that found, and what's being done to accomplish that?
It got, you'll choose the expression, bombed last week. As I said in my introduction, the staff came in, as did Councilwoman Lapote and Bona, and wiped it down. That was Sunday, and they are now rebombing it. And in 14 days, he'll have to do it again because that's the gestation period of a flea, if you did not know that.
My two cents is they may want to be careful about going back in until it's really aired out because that fumigation might be toxic. I don't want to go back into the borough hall to examine the papers until it's really cleared out and have certification from somebody that it's actually cleared out.
But good meanwhile, idea. As soon as they tell us that it's clear, they were suggesting that the staff can get back in tomorrow to start cleaning it up. So they're going to go in and clean it up.
Yeah, okay. If we had a fire department, I'd borrow a Scott pack. But meanwhile,
I'm sorry, if we had a fire department,
a scuba tank. Not a problem. I'm feeling sympathy for the people who have to work there if they haven't really certified that it's actually been cleaned out, both of the fleas and of this gas. Next item, or last item, is thank you all, council people, for your hard work.
I just want to point out that that's the third time you've said this is the last item, just as a point of order.
Well, next to last. I'm finished. Thank you all. Have a good night.
Enjoy the watermelon
Mr. Craig.
In the back.
Mr. Craig. Mr. Craig.
Yes, sir.
May I ask you one question?
Sure.
Okay. What does Deal Defenders do?
Excuse me?
What does Deal Defenders do?
I would ask you to answer that, sir. It's your company.
No, I'm asking you. Do you know what they do?
I would not comment on that.
Thank you.
I would suggest that everybody go online.
I ask for a point of order. How is that relevant to
what is the point of order? Relevance is not a point of order. Point of order is a violation of a rule.
Well, you're not responding to anything that he said.
I asked him a question.
In this instant, it doesn't make sense to me.
Okay. I'm sorry it doesn't make sense.
May I answer that, Mike?
Thank you.
I would urge everybody, including the council members who have not done so, and friends of Roosevelt, to go online and to Google DealDefenders.com and then go online to LinkedIn and see with the mayor's profile there what it says. That's the only thing that I would have to say on those two items, sir.
Okay, thank you. I have on the record what I need. Sir?
First off, I want to apologize if it comes off cross as attacking. I know in this day and age, participation trophies are pretty popular. So if that's what you're looking for, I applaud your efforts for trying to solve the issue and so on and so forth. But the reality of it is if someone doesn't do their job properly, they have to be removed from that job, along with the rest of the staff. I don't know how anyone can applaud. I guess I can understand how someone can applaud the effort someone makes, because I understand you don't have to do this. You're doing this on your own dime and so on and so forth. But there's much more risk here than a path on the woodland trails. This is the hell. Have you people read some of the possibilities of this high pH from coma, from failed organs, kidney issues? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. You mentioned you're going to consider resigning. When will you have an answer on
please,
that?
Please direct your comments to the chair. This is the way it works.
When will she have an answer on whether or not she's resigning
from this
position?
Whenever she decides if and when she wants to resign or wants to continue in her position and go for re-election.
You mentioned 27 years of environmental protection. In what way does that qualify you to oversee this system?
The DEP is the regulator of our system. They are the ones who
I'm talking about the mechanics of the system. I'm talking about from an engineer's point of view. Are you a certified water engineer?
We have a certified licensed operator.
Okay,
his
but
name
that's,
is
that's,
Toby.
This is my point. This is my point. You're not qualified for this. I came here last year for a separate issue, and you guys were talking about how birds were crapping in the water tank because we didn't have a screen. Birds were crapping in the water tank, and that was going through our system. Do we understand
well, we
the level of
one.
Competence here? What?
We fixed that one.
How long did it take to discover the issue and fix it?
Well, excuse me.
No, I am
Council,
not going to calm down. I threw up
I didn't
for
say
24
calm
hours
down.
Last
I said
week,
excuse
and my son
me.
Was digesting the water. I got up at 5 a.m. for work today and found out I can't even brush my damn teeth with the water. I'm not going to calm down. These people can applaud you all you want. I'm not going to. I want results and I want a solution. We haven't been provided with any. What's the game plan? Nothing. What is the plan of action from here? It took a week just to replace a pump that failed.
I was simply going to point out that Dr. Lipodi is an elected official. She doesn't claim to be a plant operator.
Well, then she should resign.
Well, how about Mike? How about me? How about Peggy?
The repercussions of your roles are much less than hers. They are.
Right, because she has some additional knowledge and therefore volunteers more of her time. That doesn't make her
a plant operator. But she has not succeeded. I'm sorry. She hasn't.
I might suggest you might want to attend more council meetings. You'd get a lot more information, and you'd see the exact
I have news
processes.
For you. This is my second council meeting, and seeing the dysfunction on this table, have
the
little bickering
one?
Back and forth all night, it's no wonder why nothing gets done
when
in this town.
When was the last time you were here?
A week before the hunting season ended last year.
If you came a little bit more regularly,
you would
hear more details.
So I can just pester you week in and week out? Do something.
Bits and pieces of information by coming so infrequently.
All right, when can we expect plans to see what the cost would be if a private firm came in? And also, I wanted someone to look into my suggestion.
Well, if you were attending council meetings, you would know that we had been talking about
it.
Okay, I'll answer the question. I'll answer it directly. We hired a firm. Their name was R3M. We hired them specifically to give us that advice. We tried to issue a bond to pay for their services. The bond was turned down by the town. So the answer is, I got no idea.
All right, can I ask another question about that? And this might just be a complete logistic, but to me, there's just too many chefs in the kitchen. Why are we all voting on this issue? Did we not elect this council to make the decisions for this town, the qualified decisions for this town? There's too many chefs in the kitchen. There's too many cooks in the kitchen. Everyone has their own opinion. Nothing is going to get solved. Nothing. Why is it that this council here cannot come up with an effective plan of action and put it in place? Don't leave it to everyone. Don't leave it to me. I'm up here complaining. I'm the last person you should be asking. This decision should be made by this council that's been elected. Why does this fall on the town?
The law provides that if you get 15% of the voters in the last non-presidential election, in other words, you get a very small number of people to sign a petition to challenge the bond, then the bond cannot go into effect until there is a referendum. We had the referendum. We lost the referendum, albeit by about 7 votes, but we lost it. And therefore, we don't have the capability of issuing the bond. It's just the way it works.
Nothing is going to get solved in this town. You people realize that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is going to get solved. How long has this issue been an issue? How long has this water been a problem?
I know
it's been at least the 4.5 years that I've been here.
Well, let's see. We had brown water. Anybody in the audience can tell me how far back we've had brown water? 20 years, 30 years?
Well, I came in 74, and it was brown.
So since 1975, we have failed to solve this issue.
There have been problems with the water system. Yep. We did a lot of work on it a couple of years ago.
I know you guys are trying. You should all resign, in my opinion.
You want my job?
Yeah. I will gladly take it. And I guarantee I can negotiate better rates than she's negotiating, or any of you, for that matter.
I'll negotiate?
Yes.
Okay.
Anyway, moving on.
Yes, sir.
Who just said, anyway, moving on? Who was that? I would just like to, just to know, because it's concerning to me that that's your attitude towards this. Okay, moving on. Who was that? Just so I know where my vote's not going next year, whoever the case is. Huh?
It's this gentleman's turn.
I just have two quick questions. First question is, who authorizes Mr. McGrath?
Please stand in front of the...
Kevin Ballen, if I'm following, sorry. Who authorizes Mr. McGrath to come out on Sundays, because he said he was asked to come out on Sundays, because that's when people are home. And who authorizes the overtime on Sundays and Mondays? I thought he's supposed to be in town on Tuesday. So who actually, that's our tax money. Who authorizes him to come out and harass us on days that he's really not supposed to be in town?
He's paid a flat rate to enforce the zoning ordinances. If he does it on Sunday, he does it on Sunday. If he does it on Monday night, he does it on Monday night. And then he goes to...
Allentown.
And he goes to court.
Right. Now, my second question is, so he could do the 7 days a week, it's on his time. So if he has a certain interest on some people but not other people, that's just up to him? It's selective? Is that what I'm being told? It's selective?
No, that's not anywhere near what you're being told. What you were told was that he is paid on a flat rate basis,
okay,
and he issues citations, actually starts out by issuing letters based on whatever the violation is.
Okay, and I want to present this to you guys. And I want everyone in the council to just look over this and then think about what everybody in the council who lives in this town has in their backyard and has in their garage.
Okay.
And I just want you guys to look at it.
Would you kindly give that to
the
clerk or the deputy clerk?
It's
Scott.
And I really ask, please
go. They can't hear you to do the tape if you're not there.
The council would please think about this and ask him to leave me and my family alone. Okay? My house is clean. The front yard, I agree, is clean now. It's going to stay clean. But not to harass me what I have in the back. Nobody gets deserved to not be able to hobby in their backyard. Art, whatever you want to call it. That's all I ask, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks.
Is there anybody else who wanted to speak? Al, you got something to say?
I'd like to...
Thank you. Thank you. Next year in Jerusalem. Okay. There being none, I'm closing the public session.
Could I say something just to respond?
After the public session, which I'm closing now, and then we can...
Fine.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter when I say it.
Huh?
Doesn't matter when I say it.
Yeah, okay. So that way we'll stop there. Okay. So we're closing the public session. Time is 9:49. Oh, my God. Okay. I believe we have a closed session this evening. Just to add to the fun. And Mr. Hamilton.
First thing I want to say is I think we're all to blame for the buck stops here. It does. And this is the right place to come with complaints. If the systems that we oversee are not operating properly, this is the place to come. It's not your fault as voters for not approving bonds. That's your right. It's your money. And I don't want to hear from people that you're to blame, the voters are to blame because they rejected a bond issue that they did not agree with because it's their money. We're to blame if we're not overseeing and managing the utilities properly, if we don't have good systems, if we don't have good operators, if we're not providing adequate oversight. I think we all should take the blame for it, and not one particular person. We all work hard. We're all volunteers. Jill works damn hard and really does have a special interest in the utility systems. I see her car there a lot. Joe works hard trying to oversee things. Jeff works hard. We all work hard trying to do things, and we are volunteers, and it's a small town with very limited resources. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's very difficult to come up with the money and the resources needed in a small town to really get ahead of the game on all of the infrastructure repairs that need to be made. It's basically 1937 infrastructure that we have, and a lot of it hasn't been repaired or addressed, and you can't do it all in one budget year. You can't do it all with one bond. Yeah, these are things that are going to need some time for us to discuss in the right way. But it's terribly important that we deliver the services that really matter and stop the infighting that we've had. Because what really matters in the end is quality water, what you put into your body, what we work on and should be working on to make sure that it's healthful and it's safe. And, yeah, we've spent a lot of time arguing about issues, but that's a Roosevelt cultural thing, too. We've always argued about issues. It's part of democracy. This is what you see when you have a true democracy, is people arguing about issues and trying to settle things out. But I think that we need to really try to find ways that we can work together and with the community. I think I love the fact that everybody's out and coming up with ideas, and especially that people are volunteering to help and form advisory committees and get involved, because that's terribly important too. We can't think of everything. For me, my kids are out of the school system. I don't have to worry about childcare that much, but I do want to hear from the parents who do, and I do want to know what their concerns are, and I do want them to help us address these issues in a more meaningful way. And the same with the utility issues. If people have ideas, I more than welcome them, and I think it's great that people come out, and I can see why people can get angry, because these are very difficult issues.
I just want to add that I think it's, but following up Mike's saying, that it's very important that we try to find some consensus solutions to these problems that we all can agree on, because we have to do something. You know, this putting up ideas, shoot, half the community likes it, half doesn't like it. We got to find some things that everybody realizes, accepts as reasonable, and go forward with that. There's really no alternative.
Well, in that vein, I'd also like to say that I'd like to make sure that all council members are included in all information that's pertinent to the public. Okay, some of the council members find things out, such as the failure of the water system, at the same time as the public. And then neighbors and people ask, what's going on? You don't have an answer. So I'd like to make sure that from here on in, any issue that comes up that's crucial and pertinent to the public, that all council members be advised immediately of what exactly the situation is.
Well, this would be all topics for all everything, right? Not just water, sewer. We should be in the loop of...
Yes, everything.
We should all be all up in each other's business, as the kids would say.
That's not what I said. I said anything pertinent and crucial as public...
No, I'm actually agreeing with you, Peggy. Yeah. I think I don't have enough emails to read.
Everyone needs to be apprised, not just certain council members.
Okay, that being the case...
I absolutely 100% agree, Peggy.
Good.
Can you say that again?
Move to adjourn.
I'll second.
No. We have a closed session.
I cannot stay for a closed session.
Could we reschedule a closed session? Starting a closed session at 10 p.m. is just not feasible.
It is terrible, but we've been putting these guys off for 7 months.
It doesn't matter to me. I can't attend.
It doesn't matter to you?
Well, it does matter to me. I certainly don't want to keep R3M waiting for the money that they're not owed. But I don't want to be in closed session starting at 10 o'clock because I know... I, for one, don't make good decisions after 10 o'clock. I'm tired. It's not the beginning of a good meeting for me.
Okay.
And I'd just like to see us possibly schedule a separate meeting.
Okay, so let's schedule an emergent meeting for Thursday, special meeting for Thursday, closed session to discuss this. 7 o'clock. Sound good?
Wait, what day?
Thursday.
It's Thursday.
Works for me.
We're not going to be able to make it in time for 48 hours?
No, because it will go out tomorrow, but I just have to send the notice. They don't have to publish.
How about next week?
Same here.
About a month after.
I have a meeting.
Yeah, Jerry, George, and I won't be here.
However, I will say, I am not critical.
Are you all sharing the same hotel room?
I'm not critical to the process, so, you know what I mean? I'm just a listener.
Just a bongo player.
Okay, Friday. Friday or Monday?
Monday.
You're all gone next week?
I could do Monday.
Who's around next week?
Monday's good for me.
So we'll
a lot of us have Mondays.
First thing in the morning, we'll send out an email to everybody, say, here are the available dates, pick one, and the one with the most votes gets it.
Thank you.
Very nice.
Okay, now we'll entertain a motion to adjourn, sir.
Second.
Let's not all rush at once.
Who was that?